ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദികി ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദികി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യവനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ചായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാട് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം മാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുക സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്യാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാൽപദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാ സംഹരികതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം ആധാസഹായമിതി മുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി വളം കുജയൻ വേണും കുശമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ സദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹാൻ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈ രണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമലം പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുത സ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ അസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. സോ when we discussed last time, this chapter, 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is called Kshetram Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam, isn't it? Krishna has given the title Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam. So first of all, we talked about Kshetram. First, Krishna wants us to understand what this Kshetram meant. If we don't understand Kshetram, we cannot understand the Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna's importance in the Kshetram. So that is why first Krishna talked about Kshetram. Generally, Krishna doesn't talk about Kshetram. It is not in Krishna's way of presenting Krishna consciousness, because everything is related to Kshetrajnam. Kshetrajnam is more important. But just to make us understand the importance of Kshetrajnam, he has to begin with Kshetram. In Bhagavad Gita, you see this and mentioned few verses. Krishna mentions there that Mahabhudani, in the fifth verse, Mahabhudani ahangaram buddhi avyaktam evacha indriyani dashaikam cha panchachendriya gochara icha dvesham sukham dukham samghatam chedana dhrati edal kshetram samadhena savikaram udakhritam. We have seen those two verses earlier. I'm sure you all remember that. So those two important verses, and Krishna is saying there, this body is the most difficult thing to understand. Why? Krishibir Bahudagidam. In the fourth verse, Krishna says, many, many great sages have given a various explanation to this body, which we say that we understand. Krishibir Bahudagidam Chandobir Vividhai Prithak Brahma Sutra Padeshcheva Hedumadbhir Vinishchidehi. Even Vedavyasa Maharshi, who is the highest authority on the spiritual life, even he has in Brahma Sutra managed to explain some aspect of this human body. So sophisticated this body. Imagine that. So that is an important thing to understand. We are educated in a wrong way, so we don't understand this body's complexities. Brahma Sutra Padeshcheva Hedumadbhir Vinishchide, he says, In various ways and through various angles, he has tried to explain this body in the Brahma Sutram. If you study Brahma Sutram, you will see there how these three states of existence comes again and again, and Vedavyasa Maharshi analyzing through the three states this body. He's not discussing, this is not the discussion like in the medicine anatomy. That is not the kind, because Krishna is not interested in the anatomy of the body. How this body has come into existence, that's the first question. Why did this body come, first of all? That is what they have discussed. And in that process, they have mentioned Brahma Sutra Padayascheva, Hedumadbhiru Nishchade. After that, Krishna, we had seen all that before. After that, Krishna is saying that in order to understand Kshetrajnan, you need some qualifications. Otherwise, you can't understand Kshetrajnan. Kshetram you can understand on an intellectual level. Kshetrajnan you can understand on, you cannot understand on an intellectual level. It has to be experience. And therefore, what Krishna is saying is that certain qualifications are necessary. Only those who have got it will understand Kshetrajnan. Otherwise, not possible. Otherwise, it's not possible. Therefore, he says, Adhunadu tal jnana sadhanaganam amanitvadi lakshanam. That first verse, what we have seen, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shandi, arjavam, acharyopasanam, shaujam, sthairyam, almavinigraha. All these qualifications are necessary. There are five verses altogether, which are called jnana sadhana, jnana lakshanam. So those five verses, the first verse we have seen, which is talked about, we talked about in detail about that verse, amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa kshandir arjavam acharyopasanam shaujam sthairyam almavinigraham. Krishna is going to say, Krishna is saying to us, these five, next five verses, one who has got all these qualities, he can understand Kshetrajnan, otherwise not. It's not something you can get through a course or kind of any kind of other way. These are the requirements to understand Kshetrajnan. Therefore, these qualifications are important. Yasmin sadi taljnyaya vijnane yogyaha. Only those who have got this vijnanam is qualified for that. Adhikrita bhavati yalpara sanyasi jnananishtam uchyade. A sanyasi who is situated in the platform of knowledge, he generally has his thumb. Amanitvadi ganam jnana sadhanatva jnana shabda vacham vidadadi bhagavan. Krishna is saying these gunam, these qualifications from beginning from amanitvam and onwards, they are called jnana sadhana tvat. Because of this jnana sadhana, that means beginning from this amanitam onwards, jnana shabda vacham vidadadi bhagavan. So that we have discussed till now, isn't it? We have seen that first verse. So continuing from there, today we will look at something Krishna mentions there, that the we have also seen there that we talked about this qualifications, this amanitam. These qualifications will come to a person, only one who has bhakti. Bhakti is a requirement for this. If sadhana bhakti leads to self-realization, which means sadhana bhakti leads to jnanam, jnanam leads to parabhakti. This is the step process. Sadhana bhakti leads to jnanam, jnanam leads to parabhakti. Parabhakti is what Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita. So, we have mentioned last class also that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when they talked about bhakti, the nine sages, Kavi, Hari, Andarikshan onwards, they talked about a pure devotee's qualifications, isn't it? You can't ignore bhakti. Bhakti is an essential everything. Whether you follow jnana margam, yoga margam, karma margam, bhakti is the basis of all that. Without bhakti, if you enter into jnanam or enter into karma margam or yoga margam, it will collapse one day. It won't stay. The foundation is bhakti. That is why bhakti is important everywhere. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, bhakti was not discussed separately. It was no necessity, because it's understood that one must have bhakti first. Without bhakti, if you enter into jnana margam or karma margam or yoga margam, it will fail. It will not last very long. This is the principle. So that's why we discussed last time also that bhakti is necessary, and you will notice there that in that process he discussed about the nine processes and who is a pure devotee. He meant, who says, Hari Maharshi says, there isn't it? Hari says, ഹരി സെഡ് ദാറ്റ് സർവഭൂതേഷു യപ്പശ്യേത് ഭഗവത്ഭാവം ആത്മന ഭൂതാനി ഭഗവത്യേഷ സവൈ ഭാഗവതോത്തമ ആൻഡ് ഹി മെൻഷൻ മെനി അതർ തിങ്സ് ഓൾസോ വി ഹാവ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് സോ ഓൾ ദീസ് ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് വിൽ കം ടു എ ഡിവോട്ടി ഇൻ എ നാച്ചുറൽ വേ ഇൻ എ നാച്ചുറൽ വേ ആൻഡ് എലോങ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ ഹാവ് ഈഗോ ഓൾസോ ഇൻസൈഡ് Just because that qualities have come, ego will not leave. Ego will still there. Ego is the most powerful thing. So, so the important point here is that Krishna says here that normal situations for anyone, Krishna says that surrendering is an important part of this sadhana. That means even these jnana sadhanas, if you look into this jnana sadhana, you will see amanitvam, adambitvam, all these things are a part of surrender. Are a part of surrender, isn't it? So, generally, we say like this, that Krishna has, it's my Krishna, Krishna has let me down, or Krishna didn't protect me. Krishna didn't give me any support. When things go wrong in life, we say this. People often say, I have done so much service to Krishna, but Krishna let me down. There again, there is ahankaram there. I am existing still. A better solution than that is, I am Krishna's, rather than Krishna's. My Krishna has let me down. Instead, I am saying, I am Krishna's. Krishna is doing what he wants to do with me. This is a higher understanding in that situation. So, as this principle here is, rather than saying that Krishna didn't do this for me, Krishna didn't help me, Krishna didn't look after me, rather leaving that to Krishna and simply becoming an instrument in Krishna's hands is a higher understanding of Krishna consciousness. Generally, devotees say like this, isn't it? Krishna didn't help me. Somehow or the other, Krishna has not looked after me. Krishna has given me this problem or that problem, whatever it is. But in all these situations, if you take this position that I am Krishna's, I am Krishna's, Krishna is doing what he wants to do with me, and whatever that happens, it is Krishna who is doing it. I have no complaints about that. The moment you come to that state, you are immediately independent. Ahankaram has gone. If you have come to that state, ahankaram has gone. That is why, and in that state, if you take that approach, these qualifications, what Krishna has come spoken here, will come to us easily. This is the commentary on this from the great devotees. They are saying that as long as you are thinking that Krishna is supporting you in your life, in your programs, then this cannot happen. Why? Because when you think like that, the ahankaram inside is still strong. You want Krishna to do things for you the way Krishna, you want Krishna to do the things, what you want in life. That means your planning is still going on in this world. Is it not? But the moment we accept that, everything Krishna is doing it, I am one of those instruments in Krishna's hands. Whatever it happens through this body, it's all Krishna's decision. Krishna has decided to do it through me in this way, and I am accepting in that way. That means you have become Krishna's property instead of Krishna becoming your property. That is surrender. That is a big difference there between Krishna becoming your property and you becoming Krishna's property. So if you become Krishna's property, these qualifications mentioned here, these qualities will naturally develop in a person. Will naturally develop in a person. So that is why that yayadhamam prabadhyande tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So prabhati is more important. And prabhati means this. Yayadhamam prabadhyande. Krishna says, according to one surrender. So surrender is the key. Surrender is the key. So we have spoken about Jnanamargam a lot for the last many days. Let's talk about bhakti now. Because without bhakti, whatever we spoke about Jnanamargam will not make any sense. It will remain simply on the intellectual level. So instead of keeping Krishna as your son or daughter or what, son or child, whatever way, if you look after him, So instead, you become a child in Krishna's hands. Become a child in Krishna's hands. So there is a, in Ramayanam, there is a famous story about this. A story about this. Ramachandra and Lakshmana, they are coming to Hrishyamukhachalam. Hrishyamukhachalam is the hill where Anjaneya Swami, Hanuman lived there. Bali, Sugriva's brother, cannot go there. He is barred going there. And Sugriva has taken shelter there because he was frightened of Bali, isn't it? That is this place called Hrishyamukhachalam. So where, so when Sugriva was there, Hanuman was there, Ramachandra and Lakshmana came on their passage, on their way, they came closer to this place, Hrishyamukhachalam. So Sugriva sends Hanuman to find out who these two brothers, who these two people are walking around, Ramachandra and Lakshmana. Sugriva didn't know who they were. So he sends Hanuman to find out from them. So who is Ramayanam? Who is referred to as Sugriva? Sugriva is nobody else. It is the story part of it. But in the adhyatmic level, from the Vedantam, Sugriva is the Jiva. This Jiva is the Sugriva. If you look into Sugriva's nature, you will see many qualities similar to us in him. Is it not? Sugriva has lot of qualities, what we have got with him. And Jiva's nature we know very well. What does Jiva means, isn't it? Jiva means ego. Jiva means ragam, dvesham. Jiva means hate, anger, lust, greed. All these are Jiva's qualities. You will see all these qualities in Sugriva also. Sugriva also you will see all these qualities. Added to all that, there is one more important thing. What is that? Sugriva didn't have lot of faith in God, in Ishvara. He didn't have a lot of faith, just like us. We haven't got that much faith. We have got some faith, but not that total faith what great devotees have. He didn't have. So, what does that mean? It means that the nature of those people who have not sufficient faith in Krishna or Ramachandra is that they will always test God. They will test him whether it works or not. They'll see. They will ask for little things. And if he doesn't give it, they still become more doubtful about it. That is the nature they are. They'll keep testing him. Then they say, Krishna is testing me. Krishna is not testing me. I'm testing Krishna actually. It's the opposite thing what is happening. We test him, isn't it? So the same thing Sugriva also. Sugriva was also same thing. So when Ramachandra and Sugriva, Lakshmana arrived there, still Sugriva has not accepted Ramachandra. He just wanted to test him first. So he says, there was the head of a buffalo or something lying there. So Ramachandra, he says to Ramachandra, see if you can kick that and see what whether you are able, you don't have the, you have the strength to do it. Yeah, to confirm that Ramachandra is a god. Ramachandra is God. In other words, Sugriva still doesn't believe, unlike Hanuman, he doesn't have any faith that Ramachandra is God. He's still thinking he is somebody like me. So he's trying to test him like that. What else he did? There was this sila tree standing there. Seven of them were standing there. And he gave this challenge to Ramachandra by shooting the arrows, if you can break all of them at the same time with one arrow, shooting them. So all these tests Sugriva is doing with Ramachandra to make sure that he is qualified or is God. So this is the nature of Jiva. Jiva has got this problem. He wants to test God and only then he will accept it. This is Jiva's tendency. This is Jiva's tendency. We also test Krishna in a different way, isn't it? Is it not? We always test Krishna. And if Krishna is it doesn't require a lot of things. Only a few distress has to come into your life. Your Krishna consciousness is gone from there. It'll go. That is how strong we are in our spiritual life. Little bit disturbance is sufficient. Similarly, we also test Krishna in various ways. That we have certain desires and plans in life. And we say to Krishna, and if all the plans are rejected, nothing is approved, nothing gets through, and then you are getting sick, praying to Krishna to get rid of the illness, never happened. At some point you will give it up. You will see what's the point in all this, you will think. This is Jiva's nature. That is why Sugriva was like that. It's important to know these things, how a Jiva reacts to situations. Jiva thinks that if God, you will test God all the time to make sure that He is helping him. So, only after that he will decide how powerful Krishna is. How powerful Krishna is. So, that is one aspect of that. And these are symptoms of a Jiva. These are symptoms of a Jiva. Added to that, there is one more thing. Jiva also lies, tells lie. Jiva doesn't have a problem telling lies. Realize the soul don't tell lies. Jiva tells lie to suit the situation, to escape from the situation. These are all nature of a Jiva. Nature of a Jiva. So here, important thing is, what you have to remember is, one important thing is, we have created prarabdham first, isn't it? After creating prarabdham, it is after that we got this body. So what was first? First was prarabdham. From prarabdham came the body. From prarabdham came the body. You have to know the way how it happens in our life. So, therefore, a devotee's approach is that why should I get disturbed in this situation? Because prarabdham is working in life, and whatever happiness I am getting in this life, or whatever distress is coming in this life, it is due to prarabdham. It's due to prarabdham. And still I continue my service to Krishna or serving Ramachandra accordingly. That has to continue. So what you have to remember here is, we come here with prarabdham, isn't it? So prarabdham has generated this body, and we have been released into this world to experience that prarabdham, and then we have got the body for that purpose. So initially we have the prarabdham, and in order to go through that prarabdham, remember this, in order to go through that prarabdham, you have been given the body. So prarabdham is the first thing, body comes later. So after you have created the prarabdham, to go through that prarabdham, you have put into this world, and therefore, according to the prarabdham, only it will happen. There is nothing you can do about it. You will see this all the time in life. Some people get sick very early, some people go through a lot of problems, some people remain healthy throughout, all sorts of things, and all the happiness centered around the body is also prarabdham. So the proper understanding is that prarabdham is managing my body. According to prarabdham, what is happening in the body, it will happen. I cannot do a lot of things with this body is concerned. Therefore, I should not be too concerned about protecting this body. So instead, rather I'll execute my spiritual life seriously. So who is this prarabdham? Prarabdham, when you come through Ramayanam, it is actually Sugriva's previous life is that prarabdham. Sugriva's previous life is prarabdham. Before the Jiva is born, and before the Jiva is born, prarabdham is ready. This is how prarabdham works. Prarabdham is ready to manage the Jiva. Prarabdham knows what it has to do to the body. It knows about that. So what it will do is, it will make this body to go through all sorts of situations in this world.
It will make it run through this world and it will keep beating you from back. Prarabdham is beating us all the time, isn't it? It will keep beating us. So for example, that as you go to astrologers will calculate and tell you that this is a bad time, this is a good time, and all these kind of things. And you will notice also that sometimes certain planets in certain positions, they tell you you're going through extremely difficult situations and nothing can be done about it. Some of the astrologers who are good at it, they can indicate that to you. So what they were telling you, they cannot give you a solution to the problem. They will tell you what the situation with the planets is, and they will tell you this is what is in waiting. So basically what it means is, according to Prarabdham, whatever you have to experience here, you got to experience. There is no escape from that. So that Prarabdham in this Ramayanam story is Bali. Bali is the Prarabdham, Sugriva is the Jiva. That is what this story is talking about. Bali is chasing Sugriva and beating him everywhere. And he is going and taking shelter in Krishnamukhachalam. So this story is to tell us this in truth behind it. Bali is the Prarabdham, Sugriva is the Jiva. How Prarabdham chases Jiva all the time in life. That is what is indicated in that story. Indicated in that story. You keep on running, it will keep on following you, it keep on beating you also. But there is one place where Bali has no entrance. That is, in the story it is Rishimukhachalam. You may wonder why it is in Ramayanam like that, that Bali cannot go there. He says like that. Bali can go everywhere else, why cannot go to Rishimukhachalam? So, in other words, if you look at that word, Rishimukhachalam, in other words, that knowledge, achalam, what comes from the Rishi's face, Rishi's Moka Achalam. That is how that word came. Rishi Moka Achalam came from that word. Rishi's Mukham Achalam. Rishi's Mukham Achalam. In other words, if you stay, that Rishi Moka Achalam is indicating this, that if you stay in Satsangam, continuously hearing about the Tattvam of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, then Prarabdham cannot come there. Prarabdham cannot come there. Otherwise, Prarabdham will catch you there. As soon as you come out, the Prarabdham will beat you. Prarabdham will beat you. If you move away from Satsangam, this side or that side, Prarabdham will catch you. Prarabdham will catch you. So, till in Krishnamukhachalam, till Sugriva found Hanuman in Rishimukhachalam and got there, he was suffering. He couldn't do anything. Bali was chasing him. This principle of Satsangam is spoken in a very subtle way in that story. You see, Jiva is Sugriva. Bali is Prarabdham. Rishimukhachalam is Satsangam. This is how it works. When a jiva takes the shelter of Satsangam, Prarabdham cannot come. Prarabdham will be held back. So, in order to get this point to us, in Ramayanam, Valmiki puts it like this. Sugriva is running everywhere to get shelter from, escape from Bali. Bali is chasing him all the time. But when they got to Krishnamukhachalam, he got shelter there. Who shelter? Hanuman shelter. Anjaneya's shelter. So when will this Prarabdham finally end? That is the question, isn't it? So therefore, when our connection with Krishna is established, then the Prarabdham goes away. And therefore, Satsangam gradually will take to Bhagavad Sangam. Satsangam will gradually take you to Bhagavad Sangam or contact with Krishna. And Satsangam that Inish finally give release from his karma, karma kshayam, in other words, vasana kshayam will happen from Satsangam. So what it does is that we have three kinds of karma, Prarabdham, Agamam, Sanchitam. Isn't it? Three kinds of karma. All these three karma, it will finish. What will finish? Satsangam will finish. And it will release the jiva from the effect of karma. So that is here what you see, that when Ramachandra and Lakshmana is coming there, Anjaneya Swami says, goes there and calls Ramachandra and Lakshmana to Sugriva. Ramachandra and Lakshmana, Hanuman is calling Anjaneya, is calling Ramachandra and Lakshmana to Sugriva. Sugriva is not going to see Ramachandra, the jiva's nature. So Ramachandra sends Hanuman to find out, and the excuse was that I cannot go to Ramachandra and Lakshmana. They should come to me. This is Sugriva's words. So what happened was, this scene of Sugriva sending Hanuman to Ramachandra and Lakshmana is one of the most important scenes in the Ramayana. So Anjaneya Swami dresses up like a Brahmana Brahmachari and he goes to him to see Ramachandra and Lakshmana, and he tells them who he is. Hanuman says to them, Anjaneya says to Ramachandra and Lakshmana who he is. This important thing is, what we have to understand there is, why should we keep anything separately from Krishna? We have every right to talk things openly with Krishna. Generally, in the world, we keep a lot of things to ourselves, isn't it? We don't say everything to everybody. We keep certain things to ourselves. We think that, oh, he doesn't, you know, I don't have to tell him that. But we cannot have that relationship with Krishna. So, as soon as he and Anjaneya Swami saw Ramachandra and Lakshmana, he has forgotten about himself and said that, I am the son of Anjana. Anjaneya came liar. I am Anjana's son. And he also told him that Sugriva is there in the Rishi Mukachalam. He is staying there. And I am his minister. He introduces everything. Openly he is saying to Ramachandra. Normally when somebody goes on a mission like that, he will try to suss out who they are first, isn't it? You won't reveal everything. Normally people don't reveal anything to anybody. They keep to themselves. But here you see, when Hanuman went to Ramachandra and Lakshmana, he tells everything to them first. Who he is and whose son he is, whose daughter, whose mother, who is his mother, everything. And Rama and Lakshmana, they were there. They have asked, who are you? And he says to them, Lakshmana explains everything. And Hanuman prepares himself to take Ramachandra and Lakshmana to Sugriva. So when he prepares that, Lakshmana says to him that, why should we come there? Why doesn't he come to us? It's a natural question, isn't it? Lakshmana's question this was, why should we go there? He should come to us, he says to him. And if he wants to come here, then we can talk to him or bring him over here, he said to him. At that time, Hanumanji says to him certain reasons why he cannot come. The reason is, he says, this is the nature of a jiva. That is why it is spoken like that. Then, in various lifetimes, we have performed a little bit of pious activities also. Due to some pious activities, what we have done in several lifetimes, this is not our first human body, isn't it? Many times we have changed bodies. But in previous lifetimes also, we have done certain pious activities. The result of that is, we have come up a small level, come up from the, in our this lifetime, we have come to a certain level. So, he says to him that, now that devotee there, Sugriva, if he has to come to you, then the Siddhantam of Bhakti will not work. This was Hanuman's logic to Lakshmana and Ramachandra. In other words, A jiva has come to quite a higher level, but at some stage, the mercy has to come from Krishna's side, isn't it? It is not a process ongoing forever, that you go after Krishna, but he keeps away from you forever. That doesn't work. Then there is no meaning in bhakti, is there? So bhakti siddhantam is like that. You keep going, cultivating spiritual life, prarabdham is there against us, modes of nature is there, vasanas are there, so many problems in life. In spite of all that, if a jiva continue to persevere in spiritual life, he will go up spiritually. But finally, at some point, Krishna has to show some grace to come to him. So that's why they say the siddhantam will become apasiddhantam if it is not like in that way. So ultimately, Krishna has to go to him, to the devotee. Devotee cannot reach Krishna on his own. It is not possible. It is not never possible the devotee to reach Krishna by his effort. That is very clear in bhakti process. That's an absolutely clear process, that by your own effort, you're not going to make it. That's the first thing. But you got to try, you will keep going up and up, but you may not get there. It is at that state that Krishna has to show some mercy and come. Now, in the case of Sugriva, he doesn't have bhakti, that kind of bhakti stage. He doesn't have the knowledge also, jnanam, nor does he have got that good karmam inside him, karma yogam. So karma, jnanam, bhakti, neither of them Sugriva has got. Sugriva has got. So Anjaneya Swami says to Ramachandra and Lakshmana, only if you have some mercy towards him, that he will become a proper devotee. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And my duty is to create that connection between Sugriva and you, Hanuman says to Ramachandra and Lakshmana. That is how he introduces himself. Therefore, you should come to the mountain. You should come to the mountain. He will not come down. He will not come on his own. That is his nature. So, because Hanuman says to him, he doesn't have the qualification for that. He knows Sugriva better. He's his minister, isn't it? So, Hanuman knows about Sugriva more than anyone else. So, he says to Ramachandra and Lakshmana, if you don't come to him, he's not going to come here. He will stay there. And my duty is to make the connection. So, for my sake, you should come, he says to Ramachandra and Lakshmana. Saying all these things, a lot of arguments between. Arguments means proposals from Hanuman to Ramachandra and Lakshmana, and finally he is taking Ramachandra and Lakshmana there. So at that time, because it's a big mountain, Vishamukachalam, Lakshmana is asking him that how do I climb this huge mountain? How am I going to climb? And the name of that mountain itself is the mountain where Bali has no entrance. Bali cannot go there. Bali cannot go to that mountain. So Hanuman says to him, I will carry you both. I'll carry you, both of you there. So then the question came, where should Ramachandra and Lakshmana sit in Hanuman? Hanuman can change his body according to the needs, isn't it? You see that in the Ramayana all the time. So Ramachandra, Lakshmana asked this question, where do we sit on you? Where do I sit on you? So Hanuman says to him that, he says, in two places you can sit. In two places you can sit. Either you can sit on my hips, one on either side, I'll hold them. Ramachandra here and Lakshmana on the other side. Or I'll put some basket on my back and there'll be two of you can sit in this basket on top of me. He says to, suggested this to him. So, this is the bhakti siddhantam. The siddhantam of bhakti is like that. When our mind is very strong, we will think that Krishna will remain as my Krishna or my Ramachandra. That's the way we will think in everything. That is due to the mind is too strong inside. That's what mind does to us. Mind makes you feel that I am important and Krishna should give me all support to me in whatever way it is possible. This difference is this carrying Lakshmana and Ramachandra from there to Rishimukachalam. If he sits on the hips of Hanuman, just like you have seen mothers carrying the child like this and like that on the hips, there the mother has the responsibility of the children, is it not? Mother has the responsibility of the children. Similarly, Hanuman, if he takes Rama and Lakshmana on either side and carry them, Hanuman has the responsibility of Rama and Lakshmana. They don't fall away. Or in other words, you have to look after Rama and Lakshmana. Hanuman has to look after Rama and Lakshmana. Hanuman is saying here, I don't want that. What I want is, you sit on top of me, both Rama and Lakshmana, and you drive, I'll go accordingly. This is Hanuman's philosophy. Hanuman is saying to us that, Anjaneya Swami says to us that as long as you are thinking that you are carrying Krishna or you are carrying Ramachandra with you, then that is one approach in bhakti. One approach in bhakti. And in that situation, I am the enjoyer and he is the enjoyed. I am the enjoyer and he is the enjoyed. In other words, I am experiencing that. In other words, I am the enjoyer and he is the enjoyed. That is what we like normally. I am the enjoyer. In other words, this is very hidden in all of us. After a long period of time, even in spiritual life, we still think that Krishna should do what I want him to do. Is it not? This never goes away. So many of you are chanting for 30, 40 years. Has this thing left us still? As in life, still we are looking for Krishna to do what we want him to do. This is how we approach life. All our approach is like that. It hasn't changed. And that is the difference between carrying on the hip and sitting on the shoulder, on the back or on the shoulder. Hanuman says to Ramchandra and Lakshmana, you sit on the shoulders, then I have no responsibility, and you drive me. I will act according to your instructions, he says. Ramchandra and Lakshmana. This is one story in the Ramayanam to teach us how to free ourselves from responsibility in spiritual life and to move away to the platform of Sharanagati, to surrender. Otherwise, it's not surrender. It's only spoken in a story way to indicate to us that subtle difference. You may think, what is the difference? I'm going to Krishna, it's my Krishna, I'm surrendering to Krishna and all that. But I is still there very strongly. That I is still there very strongly. That I won't go till I hand over myself to Krishna or Ramachandra. That's what it says here. So, so they ask him that, when it is, the relationship is like that, your decisions will all be based on your personal interests. According to my desire, things should happen. And accordingly, you are willing to serve Ramachandra or Krishna in that way. In that way. So, on the other hand, if you feel that Krishna is controlling everything in life, every moment, if the surrender is complete, what will happen? Imagine what will happen. Nothing will disturb you in this world. Because Krishna is doing it anyway. I have no independence. I have no independence. And as long as this ego is working inside, you will always look for alternatives in this world. This is the problem with this ego. Understanding this ego is a very difficult thing because it is so subtle. That is the problem with the ego. No matter whatever we may say, we will do this, we will do that, we will try this, try that. So many alternatives we look for. Who is moving behind all that? The ego is working. The ego is working here. So, as long as we have this false ego, our nature will be always to relate with Krishna in this way. Which way? To keep Krishna on the hips. Or to ask Krishna to do things the way we want that thing to happen. This is a very subtle side of the Sharanagati process. That as long as we have ego inside, we want Krishna to be our servant. We want Krishna to be our servant. As soon as this ego goes away, you become naturally Krishna's servant. So when you are trying to get these qualifications, what Krishna is talking about, amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandir arjavam acharyopasanam shaujam sthairyam atmavinigraha, all these qualifications will only happen when Sharanagati is there. You can see they are the same qualifications of Sharanagati, isn't it? Sharanagati is different side of it, that is. So, Ramchandra says to Anjaneya at that time, I am agreeable for both. You want me to stay on the side or you want me to stay on the shoulder, whatever it is. Where should I sit? He is asking them. He is asking Anjaneya Swami. So Hanuman replies that in a very nice way, not bringing the logic of all the bhakti process. Instead he says to him that only Kausalya had that freedom to do that, to keep you on the hips, to carry you. Kausalya, let it remain like that. Let it stay with Kausalya, that freedom. And Kausalya and Dasharatha had that freedom to have it like that. So let it remain like that. Because Hanuman's point is, if I take you both on my hips, then it's my responsibility to look after you. Isn't it? Just like a mother's responsibility towards the children. I don't want that, he says. I don't want that. And suppose people are independent. People are independent. Mother takes the children. The children has no responsibility then. It's mother's responsibility to carry the child wherever she goes. Sometimes in the villages you see mothers walking long distances with the children on the hips. That is before this transport system has come like today. Now you put a seat at the back and put the child in there and belt her. Well, the baby there. You can't even carry the child. That's how weak we have become. So that's another thing. But what we are talking about Hanuman's time, obviously there was no facilities like that. So what Hanuman is saying, Valmiki is giving this example to us to make us understand that when a mother takes the children on her hips, she has the total responsibility for the children to look after, carry her. Wherever she goes, the child has to go with her. And it is her responsibility. Whether she is strong enough or not, doesn't matter. She has to do it. But and in that case, if you do that, that baby is independent then, isn't it? Baby has no responsibility, it's mother's responsibility because mother has taken over control of the children. Mother's responsibility it is. So, if the baby holds on to someone, in that case, the babies are the slaves and the person who is holding the baby, he is independent, is it not? Mother is independent, baby is the slave. Slave means surrender to the mother. Based on the decision of the mother, the babies have to go. There is no choice for the babies. In other words, mother is independent and baby is surrendered. Baby is surrendered. And this in the Shastram they call it as Vedhiregam. Vedhiregam means, you know in the Bhagavatam, that you will see Anvayam Vedhiregam. We have discussed this many times before. Anvayam and Vedhiregam. This is Vedhiregam. Now, another example. One person is walking through the street. He has got a dog with him and he's got a chain. He's holding the chain. And the person is thinking that he is independent and the dog is its servant or slave, isn't it? But actually, the dog is independent. Actually, dog is independent. In our mind, the dog is independent because the dog doesn't want to go with you anymore, anywhere. Dog is not asking you, take me here or take me there. Suppose you take the chain off, dog will go its own way wherever it wants to go. Is it not? We think that, dog is, it's because dog is attached to me, that's why. Dog is not attached to me. Dog wants to go its own way. We are putting the chain and holding it back, the dog. But, but because we have attachment to the dog, it cannot leave you and go away. And so those who are thinking that if you take away the chain, the dog will run away. And because you are holding it with this chain, therefore the person who is holding on to the dog is actually the slave. Is actually the slave. So here, when Anjaneya Swami asked this question, in a very intelligent thing that Anjaneya is asking there, and the way Anjaneya is asked is a symptom of that freedom from false ego. Freedom from the false ego. Hanuman says to him, says to Ramchandra, that I do not want to keep you on my hips, rather you should stay on my shoulders or at the back only. And once somebody is sitting on top of someone, then the person who is sitting on the top has the responsibility to drive the animal. Is it not? Like on the horses. When you sit on top of the horses, the person who is riding the horse, he has to decide which way the horse has to go. Or if you are sitting on the top of an elephant, he has to decide where the elephant has to go. So there, that is the difference in bhakti also. If Ramachandra, Krishna is on top of your head or on the shoulders and he is telling you to go in this world, whichever way he is driving you, if you go along with that, that is Sharanagati. That is more intelligent question, more intelligent proposal. This is the important point. This bhakti siddhantam is sometimes, we don't understand the subtleties of the bhakti. We are thinking bhakti is always doing chanting and dancing and feasting and all that. That's okay. That is there to keep us in the bhakti. But actual bhakti is surrender, not all these things. Actual, for surrender is the meaning of bhakti, means surrender itself, nothing else. And then surrender also, all these subtleties are involved. We think we are surrendered, aren't we? But where is our surrender? When every moment we are expecting from Krishna to act in a way that suits us. That's not surrender. So here you can see that when a person is riding a horse, if he turns in one direction, he pulls the reins and the horse turns in that way. Or the other way, if he pulls, it goes in the other direction. But, so, and when he wants a horse to move, he gives a, he whips the horses or something and horse runs, isn't it? So, horse on its own is independent. Horse on its own is independent. But the one who rides a horse, it is in his consciousness, in his subtle body, all the responsibility or the weight of driving that horse is in his hands, isn't it? So, in bhakti also, it is the same thing happens. Till this situation happens, that throughout life Krishna is driving every moment, our bhakti is not there. You perform a lot of sadhana in life. You are chanting, you are dancing, you are doing various things in the name of bhakti. But real bhakti has only come when this surrender has happened. Otherwise it is still there. Then therefore Hanuman is saying here, stay on top of me. Stay on top of me. So why? Hanuman is one of the greatest devotees, isn't it? So naturally, Hanuman is a very interesting character in the Ramayana, is it not? Very, very interesting character in the Ramayana. He says to him, so you can see normally for a small child, you talk to him about Ramayana, whole story. And you ask him, whom do you like the best? They will tell you they like Hanuman. They don't say they like Ramachandra or Lakshman or anybody. They'll say they like Hanuman. They'll say like this. Because they'll all talk about, many small children, if you talk to them about Ramayana, because what is that speciality in Hanuman? Totally freedom from selfishness. That is Hanuman's nature. And freedom from the false ego. And no life of his own. No life of his own. That is why Hanuman has so much strength in him. Because of this. You know, we think that if I become very selfish, look after, people will say, look after yourself, isn't it? Suppose if you look after yourself too much, you'll become weak. It is by sacrificing and living for others that you become strong. Not by, this is the underlying principle in there. And that is why Hanuman is strong. Ramayana is showing this to us. So that is the reason, because he is freedom from the selfishness, freedom from the false ego, that has made Hanuman so strong. So, a servant is more powerful than the master. Because one who has no false ego is more powerful than one who has got a lot of false ego. This is the principle in spiritual life. We get it all wrong. We get it all wrong because we don't know these things. That's why when we come to spiritual life, what do? First, we want to exercise our authority. We want to make sure that everybody listens to you. We want to make sure that we are in charge of everything. This is not bhakti. This is not proper understanding of bhakti. They are far away from the truth of bhakti. When you lose your ego, when you, ahankaram goes away from inside, and at the same time, completely freedom from that selfishness, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. If you observe this clearly, you'll understand what is bhakti means. Bhakti is not like a chief executive in a big company, where he has got a lot of salary and a lot of facilities in the company, and he has many people working under him, and the top boss is the greatest devotee. If you say it's not acceptable, in the empire of bhakti, one who has nothing is the greatest devotee, isn't it? Nishkinchanam, akinchanam, all these words are coming from that. Nishkinchanasya bhagavad bhajano unmukhasyam. In the Bhagavatam, there is a verse about that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions that. So, there is a difference between bhakti life and the material life. In the laugiyam, in the material life, authority, power, all this is important. In bhakti, they are not important. One who doesn't have the ego to control others, that is bhakti. So, here again, you will notice this in the Ramayanam throughout, various personalities talking about it. So, Bharata says in Ramayanam, the same principle. Bharata talks to Ramchandra about that. Bharata says to him, Shujivam nityadastasya paraihi ubajivadi Rama tasyadanurjivam yaparo ubajivadi. This is a verse Bharata is talking to Ramchandra. Bharata says to him, one who lives in this world being controlled by others, that person is more free, he says. He's more free. Because what happened was, when he came to Ramachandra and Kaikeyi arranged the empire for him, Ayodhya, for Bharata to rule. Bharata say, and Ramachandra says, Kaikeyi is very kind to me, didn't give me this headache of running the empire, running the kingdom. I am free. She is very kind to me because by giving me this freedom, she took away a lot of responsibility from my head. I can go to the forest and do what I want. And instead, she doesn't like her son Bharata, so he has put everything on his head. Now let him do what he has to do. This is how Ramachandra sees that, isn't it? So, if you look into an organization also, you will see there that the chief executive got all the problems, isn't it? But the very small person working in the company, in the smallest level, he doesn't care what happens to the company. He doesn't have the headache of all the worries in the company. Chief executive won't be getting sleep. This man will have good sleep in the night. It's always like that, is it not? You know, when you work in any big institution, you will see this. The big boss, he is struggling with his life. He has got all the headaches of so many people. Everything is on his head. He has to pay their salaries. He has to make sure that the business is doing well, proper returns to the investors. And then he has to also make sure that things should going on every day properly. All this is on his head. But the lowest person working in the company, what problem has he got? He says, I'm working, you give me my salary. If you stop my salary, I won't come anymore. That's how he sees that. So Bharata says to him that the general manager or the managing director or the chief executive of a company, he cannot even sleep at night because of all the problems what this company has got. Because he has a heavy weight behind him, isn't it? Bharata says to Ramachandra, I don't want this emperor's job. You can have it, he says. You sit there, let me go, he says. Who Bharata says to Ramachandra. So, he says here, if you ask me to sit, I'll sit. If you want me to walk, I will walk. If he wants to go away, I'll go away. Tell me what I have to do, I'll do that, says Bharata to Ramachandra. So, here what you understand from that Bharata's words is that in bhakti process, Sharanagati, or you become servant of Krishna, somehow or the other, you become Krishna's servant, then, then the problem is solved. When you say you become servant of Krishna, what does it mean? You become the servant of Antaryami inside, who is also addressed here as Kshetrajna. Kshetrajnan, what we are talking about is that Antaryami inside, isn't it? That is what in bhakti, that is what. In other words, Krishna is driving us to that point. All these things Krishna is telling us for what reason? to surrender to that Antaryami inside. That means Sharanagati or surrender to the Antaryami. So, Ahankaram or false ego or the doubts, all these things has to go. Till you realize the self, this Ahankaram will be there. False ego will be there. So, till you get the complete realization of the self, Ahankaram will be there. Ahankaram will be there. And even after realizing the self, when you come down to Vyavaharam, and if you start operating the Vyavaharam level, Ahankaram will be there. Ahankaram will be there. But only difference is that Ahankaram at that time is a very matured Ahankaram. Matured Ahankaram. Ahankaram will be there, but it will be in a matured state. So, Jnani or the realized soul also, he also has to do Vyavaharam in this world. You know what I mean by Vyavaharam, isn't it? Vyavaharam means dealings in this world, transactions in this world. So, Jnani also, in his dealings in the world, he will be keeping a very small amount of aham inside. Aham is that ahankaram comes from aham. Aham, awareness of one's own self. They give the example in the Shastram as Dagdhapadam. Dagdhapadam means, suppose there is a rope, coir, rope or something. If you burn that, what will happen? It remain, looks like a rope still. But if you touch it, it will break into pieces straight away. You can't use that rope to tie anything. Normally, you can use the rope to tie something, isn't it? If you burn the rope will be still there. It will appear exactly like that, but it's already burned. It's already burned. So, similarly, the Jnani has, like, this is called Dagdharaju. Dagdharaju means burnt rope. Burnt rope. Like the burnt rope, there will be a Ahankaram still inside, but you can't tie anything with that rope. That's the difference. Do you see that comparison? Comparison is like this, that when you have a rope, it has a form. You burn the rope, the form will remain the same. Is it not? Form will remain the same. But with that rope, you can't tie anything. You can't tie anything. Similarly, Jnanis also, they have Ahankaram. But with that Ahankaram will not cause any problem. You can't create bondage with that Ahankaram. The other Ahankaram what we have, the original rope or our normal Ahankaram, what it does is, it creates bondage in this world. Because you cannot act in this world with freedom from the ego. That means, once you are acting in this world with ego, what will happen? Bondage will come from the Ragam will come, Dvesham will come, Kartrutvam will come, Bhoktrutvam will come, and you are in bondage. Karma Bandhanam, they call it, or bondage from the Karma will come. So, similarly, devotee also has Ahankaram, false ego. His Ahankaram is due to bhakti. The Ahankaram of bhakti will be there in the devotees also. In the Jnani, there will be Ahankaram of Jnanam. In the devotee, there will be Ahankaram of bhakti. This doesn't go away very easily, would it? It remains still there. So, when he is operating in this world, it is keeping this Ahankaram inside, he is doing all the other business inside. Just like they give the example that with pure gold, you can't make jewelry, can you? Pure gold is so pure, 100% pure gold, you can't make jewelry. In order that to make it work, to create, make jewelry, there is a very small percentage of, that's how this 22 carat, 24 carat gold and all has come. That there is a certain amount of impurities in the gold. So, because it is like that, only if the impurities are there, you can make jewelry with that, isn't it? So, in bhakti, what is happening is that Ahankaram inside has become, you have made it impure. If bhakti makes purified, bhakti purifies a person. But that little Ahankaram is this impurity inside. Is that little impurity inside. So, in that situation in bhakti, you become that surrendered mood. Dasya bhavam. Dasya bhavam. Or in other words, Bhagavadam says, Ishastihi vashe logo yosha dharu vai yatha. It says, in so many places, it keeps coming back in the Bhagavadam. Ishastihi vashe logo. The whole world is under Krishna's control. യോഷാ ദാരുമയി യഥാ വി ആർ ഓൾ ആക്ച്വലി ദ പപ്പറ്റ്സ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ബിഗ് ഡാൻസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് പ്ലേയിങ് ദർ. വി ഓൾ തിങ്ക് ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ ഇൻഡിപെൻഡന്റ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? വേദവ്യാസ മഹർഷി സേയ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഈശസ്യ ഹി വശേ ലോകോ, വേൾഡ് ഈസ് അണ്ടർ കൃഷ്ണസ് കൺട്രോൾ, കംപ്ലീറ്റ് കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ. യോഷാ ദാരുമയി യഥാ, ലൈക്ക് ദ പപ്പറ്റ്സ് ഹിയർ, ഹൗ പപ്പറ്റ്സ്, ദ പപ്പറ്റ് ഹു പ്ലേസ് വിത്ത് ദ പപ്പറ്റ്സ്, ഹൗ ഹി പുൾസ് ദ സ്ട്രിങ്സ്, കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് പുള്ളിംഗ് ദ സ്ട്രിങ് ഇൻ ഈച്ച് വൺ ഓഫ് അസ്. And he's having, making these puppets to play that role. So when you recognize that you are a puppet, that is bhakti. You recognize you are a puppet. So at that point, we do not want to carry, puppet doesn't carry any more responsibility on its movement, isn't it? Everything is carried out by the person who is pulling the strings behind. So, what is the author? Where does it say like this in the Bhagavad Gita? If you ask like that, instead of keeping the responsibility on our head, handing over all the responsibility to Krishna, that is what in the Bhagavad Gita you will see. Krishna mentions this. Why? Pidahamasya jagado madadhadha pidamaha vedyam pavitram omkaram kriksama yajurevaja pidahamasya jagado. I am the great grandfather. Mata dada pitamaha. I am the father, I am the mother, I am the grandfather, he says. So from now on in this chapter, saying this, Krishna is going to talk about bhakti a lot. Krishna will talk about bhakti. In introduction to that, Krishna is saying all these things in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna is going to talk about bhakti, a few things here. You cannot separate jnanam from bhakti. Anyone who thinks that they can advance in jnanam without bhakti is misunderstood things. Jnanam, you cannot progress. So, one who has completely surrendered to Krishna, or one who has that total dedication and surrender to Krishna, and one who is always willing to surrender everything to Him, he is the one who is free. So, when I have, like a child who thinks, when I have my father and mother, why should I be frightened about anything? And when you have little fear, problems, you have to cry, isn't it? That's what the child does. And whom do you cry to? Here in bhakti, you cry to whom? You cry to yourself. You cry to yourself. Because whether you cry, whether you pray, whether you suffer, whether you experience distress, there's only one person who is going to hear. Who is that? Antaryami inside, or Kshetrajna inside. That's the point Krishna is going to make now. He's going to say this. You know, in the last chapter, we have talked about Antaryami a lot, isn't it? That Antaryami principle is so important that if you want to surrender, where do you surrender? This whole question will come. Whom should I surrender? Should I surrender to institution? Should I surrender to some person? Krishna is going to explain that here. He says here that bhakti means that surrendering to that Antaryami inside. And that itself is a bhakti sadhana. It's a sadhana in the bhakti process. Bhakti is 24 hours business. It's not like jnana sadhana. It's all the time. It is in the, while walking, while sitting, when you are stressed out, in all these things, there is one person who is listening to you. That is Antaryami inside. And you have to talk to him. People may say you have gone crazy. You are talking without anybody there. That's, no. It won't happen, because nowadays there is no problem about that. Is it not? So many people are walking, talking, and you don't bother about it because it is accepted now in the society. So before these mobile phones came, if you have been talking, they'll take you. Police will come and take you. They'll say you've gone nutter. But now nobody will say. So many times you see in the train, in the plane, in buses, everywhere, people are talking. And taxi driver is talking, everybody is talking, you are just sitting there as though it's a normal thing. He's talking, he doesn't see the person, he's still talking. So therefore, when the cell phones, first time it came to the world, it didn't come to India very quickly, it took a long time to come there. But when it came first time, it was an amazing thing for many people. They were shocked to see this thing called a cell phone. That they were talking to someone. Nowadays, nobody thinks. Everybody has got 4 or 5 of them sometimes. It's funny now. It's so different. But anyway, what happened was, One person was traveling by train, an old man. He was traveling by train. So one girl was sitting, a young girl was sitting opposite to him in the train, and she was talking through the, and there was just some connected with wire was connected to the ears, and she was kept on talking. So so this old person thought that she must be probably sick or something, some problem with her. So so after a while, she got up from there and went on to the top of the berth in the train. Till then she was sitting there, because you know, in long distance trains, you will sit and see the same person for a long time. They will be sitting there in the train. So again she was talking from the top of the berth. So he was observing all these things, what was happening with this young girl. He says, and similarly, if you talk to Krishna all the time, it will not cause any problem. It's better to talk to Krishna than talking to all other people in this world. All your problems, you have to talk to Krishna. And he is the one who is going to listen. Nobody else is going to listen. There is so much distress coming in life in different forms, isn't it? Body is giving trouble. So many other problems in this world. And you feel helpless about it. And it is causing so much distress also. So he is, now you come to understand why it is important. Then whatever distress is coming in life, keep talking to Krishna about it, all the distress there. And when he wants to hear, he will hear, because he is the best listener. Krishna is the best listener. So then you may ask the question, when I say something, he's not giving me back any answer. Whereas the mobile phone is always answering, isn't it? So you're talking back again and back and forth, the conversation is going on. But here nothing is happening. The problem is with Krishna, he wants you to stop first. Only when you stop, he start talking. He start talking. Till you stop, he won't talk. This is a very underlying principle of bhakti. When you stop talking, then Krishna will start. When you stop talking, Krishna will start talking. When you keep on talking, Krishna will not talk. Krishna is a very good listener that way. Some people have been noticed, you'll be talking right in the middle, he will butt in and start talking everything. He won't listen to anything what you are telling, but he will keep on talking for hours together, and then he will ask you, what did you say? He'll ask. So some people, Krishna is not like that. Krishna is very good that way, very polite and very gentlemanly. He says, when you finish, then I will talk. First you finish what all you have to say. So what is going on now is that we are talking, it's not finished. All our needs, all our desires, all our plans, all our ideas, we are telling Krishna. Krishna says, go on, as long as you want to say. I'll listen all that. When you stop, Krishna will start listening. So that is why he is the best listener. So, Taimanava says about this, that he gave me this knowledge in an indirect way, he says. Mahatma Gandhi also says the same thing. That many things in Mahatma Gandhi's life wasn't like an intuition for him. It was not something he got from the books or anything. Mostly it came from the Antaryami. And he depended a large extent on that power of the Antaryami in him. And you can imagine, Gandhiji found out some unusual ways of fighting, is he not? The Satyagraha principle. You remember that he fought through the Satyagraham. Where did he get this idea from? He says here, because everything that is original in this world, it comes from the Antaryami. It comes from the Antaryami. So this Antaryami principle is like that. If you understand, if you have that connection established with Antaryami, Antaryami will guide you through in life. There is no necessity to worry about it too much. Antaryami will decide. You just act according to that and make the life a lot easier. Lot easier. So everything, when you speak, he is listening. And then it is called prayer. It is called prayer. The word prayer, what we say, is when you are speaking and Krishna is listening. And when he starts speaking, and when you stop speaking, and when he starts speaking, and when you learn to listen to it, it's called meditation. Prayer and meditation, this is the difference. When you are speaking, Krishna is listening, it is prayer. When Krishna is speaking and you are listening, it is meditation. We are not talking about the meditation, what they do in the courses and seminars and all that. This is not, this meditation actually means dhyanam. Dhyanam is not something remembering a form or anything. That contact with Antaryami you have established, in other words. Antaryami talking to you is meditation. You are talking to Antaryami is prayer. If you understand this difference, subtle difference between prayer and meditation. You see? That prayer is your conversation with Krishna. And meditation is Krishna's conversation with you. So, as soon as meditation starts, what happens? You become silent. You become silent. So, so at the moment, in that situation, when he is in that silent mode, when he is operating at that time, Krishna is completely aware of everything what is happening in your body and the mind and the intelligence. At that stage, Krishna is completely conscious of everything what is happening. And at that stage, he is addressed as Kshetrajna. That is when he is called Kshetrajna. So, knowing this only, that we have to say everything to Krishna, never to keep anything to yourself. A devotee sang about this. So, Krishna sometimes creates a lot of difficulties in life, various forms, isn't it? And sometimes this distress goes on for years and years in life and never seems to come to an end. It's going to go on for a very, very long time. So, that you have experienced, sometimes it happens, isn't it? For some people's life, never seems to be an end to their distress. Goes on for years and years together. So there is a talk about this, that some devotee says to Krishna, that when I have taken your shelter and you kept on beating me, and he says to Krishna, what kind of looking after devotee is like this? Because it never comes to an end. We are always in the bodily identity, isn't it? Always our desire is that the body should be comfortable. Our desire should be fulfilled. And therefore, we are looking at the time. And if a lifetime, a major part of your life has gone in distress, then you know the whole life was not very happy way of life at that stage, isn't it? So, he says here that better than you is a father and mother, he says, one devotee says to Krishna. Because there, a son who does not listen to the father, father beats him a lot. And then the son becomes very distressed because the father has beaten him. Then he goes to the mother and mother embraces him and consoles him, isn't it? Or alternatively, if mother beats him up, the son goes to the father and gets shelter there. Father gives him shelter. But unfortunately, he says, both my father and mother is the same person. So where would I go? This was a devotee's question. So from this we can understand that due to my unfortunate situation, Krishna is my father and mother, and please stop beating me, he says to the devotee. Ramalinga Swamiji says this, don't beat me anymore. I can't take it. Where will I go if you keep on giving me trouble in life? This is a devotee's approach. This is all the right situation in this world. Each one of us has to go through this. When a lot of distress comes, where would you go except to go to Krishna? Where else can you go? Nobody else can help you. Something happens to the body, you are in trouble. Nothing can be done about this body. What will you do? And so many other problems as well, isn't it? So here it says here that whatever distance has come in this life, there is no point in telling anybody else about it. They are not in a position to help about that. So if you keep telling to someone, they will listen to everything. They will shake their head. Yes, 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 it's true. It's a very big problem. After that, they will go. What is the reason? Why is it like that? Because if you really look at that person, you will see that person has got more problems than you in his life. And we are going and telling all our problems to him. So who is there in this world who doesn't have any problems? Who doesn't have any problems in this world? So everybody has got some distress, or everyone has some kind of misery going through in this life. So Krishna says here, devotee says to Krishna, I had enough of all this distress and give me protection. And surrendering to Krishna in that way and completely being controlled by Krishna, and if you do like that for a long period of time, that means every time a distress comes or a misery comes in life, if you learn to hand it over to Krishna at that time, when the distress comes or misery comes, you have no other. This is bhakti. It is no point in studying courses and seminars on bhakti instead of putting into practice in life. Whenever distress comes in life, problems comes in life, if you learn to hand it over to Krishna at that time, that is bhakti. That is sharanagati. That is sharanagati. There is no other. Bhakti is a very simple process in that sense. In that sense. But unfortunately, we don't look into all these things. We will start studying some complicated shastric books on a theoretical level. We'll study all that things. And if you ask that person, he will tell you bullet points by everything. 10 different aspects of bhakti, different rasas and all that. And you start thinking this person is a great devotee because he knows the whole science of bhakti. But when it comes to bhakti, Krishna is saying to us, that is why these verses are important. Knowing this verse is no use unless it is in real life. When every moment surrendered to Krishna, Sharanagati stage, always accepting what Krishna has given to us, and to remain in that state all the time, completely under Krishna's control, completely surrendered to Krishna, and never complaining to Krishna, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. All the great devotees, if you take and look into their life, this is what was happening. This is what was happening in their life. They didn't get reach that state by studying books. Books cannot get you there. Books will make you a scholar, but it won't generate bhakti inside. So that is why Krishna is saying here that that if you have that surrendering nature in a person, and if you every time when a distress comes or problems comes in life, if you keep on learning this art of handing it over to Krishna, and that bhakti, and if you develop it like that, you will become completely independent. Because you handed it over to Krishna. Why should I worry about it? That is the principle. And that principle, what Krishna has spoken here, is the 15th chapter of Purushottama Yogam. In the Purushottama Yogam, the 15th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, is this process of handing over to Krishna everything in life. We don't want to hand over. Our understanding is Krishna should do everything the way I want it to happen. That is not bhakti. So you can see this important principle that great, great, great devotees, they have all done this. This is their success. Handing over everything to Krishna. It's not my problem anymore. Tyagaraja did this. Tukaram did this. Namadev did this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this. All the great personalities, this is what they have done. You look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, it was like that, was it not? Later on, Goswamis came and they have created the Shastram. They wrote the books, Hari Bhakti Vilasam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Nectar of Instruction, so many others. That is a later story. But look into their own life, personal life, if you look in, what will you find there? It was all this surrender, nothing but surrender. So in other words, bhakti means nothing but surrender. So handing over. So here you will see the important thing in that 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called Purushottama Yogam, isn't it? Purushottama Yogam, that is the 15th chapter. So internally you need to have jnanam, andarigam. Andarigam is knowledge. Internally you have the knowledge. In vyavaharam, in dealings with the world, sharanagati. That is the way it is. It has to work. You must think about all these things. It's not that I have said something and you should just listen to it. But the proper way to understand bhakti and jnanam is in this way. Don't take it that you make a chart of bhakti and jnanam. This is all for bhakti, this is all for jnanam. That is no use. That connection between bhakti and jnanam. Inside, there is jnanam, no proper knowledge of the reality of the situation. What is that knowledge? I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not from enjoyment, everything. That is jnanam inside. Then while dealing with the world, in vyavaharam, bhakti. What is that bhakti? Anything that happens in vyavaharam, always surrender to Krishna. Whatever Krishna does to you, you are willing to accept it without any complaint. That is bhakti. So inside jnanam, outside bhakti. This is what Krishna is talking about here. So if you want to see Krishna inside, you have to have that jnana yogam inside. Antaryami's presence inside, knowledge of Antaryami, everything. And if you don't want any distress in the life in vyavaharam, always sharanagati. Always sharanagati. So inside Swarupanishtha, outside sharanagati. Inside Swarupanishtha, outside sharanagati. Move in this world according to the way Krishna is moving you in this world. Just like they give the example of the dry leaf which is wandering around, flowing around according to the wind, in the same way. Let things happen as Krishna is making it to happen. The way Krishna controls you, get controlled accordingly. And if you have that Bhagavad Bhavam all the time in the heart, in your consciousness, if it exists like that, as Kshetrajna, Krishna is moving the body all the time. He moves the body, he moves the mind, and in your intelligence also, he gives you different ideas. As Kshetrajna inside, he does that. And he controls your false ego also, ahankaram inside. And he also controls your life, giving you happiness and distress. Giving you happiness and distress. From this you can understand this principle. That inside the knowledge of Antaryami is so important. That he is controlling your body, controlling your mind. This will help you when you have to deal in vyavaharam. In vyavaharam, this will help. Why? Krishna is controlling everything. Body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, everything. He is under Krishna's control inside as the Antaryami inside. Externally, happiness and distress is coming from outside. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna finishes in the last chapter, he puts it in a very nice way in one verse. What does he say? Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yendra Rudhani Mayaya. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone who has understood Bhagavad Gita properly, they will always keep this verse in their mind. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, all living entities, he is the controller. That we have to accept first. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam. And where is he? Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Arjuna, he is situated within the heart. Who? Krishna. As Ishvara or Antaryami. Brahmayan Sarvabhudani. What does he do? He moves everyone in this world. Brahmayan. Brahmayan means like that. He makes you wander around here in different bodies, in different species and different ways, giving us happiness, distress. He gives the result of our karma. When we get the result, we feel happy. When we don't get the result, he feels distressed. In various ways, he is the controller all the time. That's why it is mentioned like that. And after he says, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. What does he do? Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yendra Rudhani Mayaya. Yendra Rudhani Mayaya. That is more important. Just like Yendra Rudhani means, you see that big giant wheel, like, what do they call it in London? London Eye. You go, pay, you sit there. And London Eye goes on and on and on. Till their payment is over, isn't it? Similarly, you got into this body. Now you can't get out till the body is finished. You have to wait. And while it's in this body, he runs the body. Like the London Eye is running. It's that's it. Brahmayan Sarvabhudani. All living entities are going on like this, running around in this world. Sometimes here, sometimes there. Sometimes doing this, sometimes doing that. Sometimes this plan, that plan, so many things are going on. This is all the symptoms of that ego inside. Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Who is the agent who is looking after this London eye? Maya. It's Maya's job to do this. Maya does this very well, is it not? Maya makes us think, I have to do this today, I have to do that tomorrow, I'll go here today, I won't go tomorrow there. He is my friend, he is my enemy. So many conceptions in our head. Who created all this? Maya has created that. So that is why Krishna says there at that time, that verse is very, very important in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara Sarvabhuta. It is not simply saying that, oh, Krishna is sitting there, he is just running. How does he run? Yantra. Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Maya. Just like Yantrarudhani Maya. Just like in the machine, it's controlled by the operator, the Maya is controlling us. And then Krishna says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharadam. Yal prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsesi shashvatam. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will see the very next verse. After saying this, Krishna is tameva sharanam gacham. You have to surrender there only, nowhere else. Tameva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharada. By all means, surrender there. Why? Yal prasadal param shantim sthanam. By His mercy only, sthanam prapsesi shashvatam. That Param Shanti Sthanam Prapsesi Shashvatam, that stage of permanent Shanti will come to you by surrendering there to Antaryami. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, you will notice there. So, these verses you have to always keep it in mind after studying Bhagavad Gita. If somebody asks you, what did you understand? This is the answer to that. So, if you surrender there to Antaryami and hold on to Krishna, and that Bhagavad Bhavam, always, as he says in the Bhagavatam, he says, Sarvabhudeshu yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana, that Bhagavad Bhavam inside. And keeping that bhakti always inside, with this background, with that background, these qualities has to be developed. That is the important point. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without the background of all this bhakti, these qualities will not work, will not happen to a person. I can study the verse and tell you everything, what the verse says, but I won't have it till I have this bhakti in the heart. So from here you can see, jnanam is supported by bhakti. If there is no bhakti, jnanam cannot survive. If there is no bhakti, vairagyam cannot survive. If there is no bhakti, karmam cannot survive. Karma yogam also cannot happen. So, in all processes, whether it's Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Karma Margam, Bhakti is the key phase behind it. Even these qualities as well. That is what Krishna is saying here like this. So, holding on to Bhakti's strength, you have to acquire these qualities. You have to acquire these qualities. And only if you do it that way, when you get this quality, you will be able to settle down there, established in that. So, or when realization comes, Sakshalkaram, you can see the problem. Everybody likes the knowledge of the self, isn't it? Self-realization. And many, many people in this world are practicing spiritual life on the path of self-realization. They take it. But mainly the problem what happens is, many of them talk about knowledge, self-realization, everything, and they do not give importance to of bhakti's role there. They ignore bhakti. The result is that very soon they fall. They are not able to hold on to that. If you remember in the Bhagavatam, this verse comes when Brahma prays to Krishna, Tattenu kambam susamikshamanu bunjana evalpakradam vipakam hridvag vabhubhir vidadhan namaste jivedayo muktipade sadhaya bhak. Brahma is saying to Krishna, Tatenu kambam susamikshamano bunjaname atmakradam vipakam. He says, I will wait for your mercy to come. Brahma is saying this. Anukamba, tate anukambam susamikshamanam. I'm waiting for that. And whatever that happens to me in my life, that's my own creation. Came from my prarabdha. Bunjanam ev atmakradam vipakam. And my prarabdha karma is maturing. And I am eating the results of that prarabdham. I will live in that way in this world. That is bhakti. Hridvag vabhubhir vidhan namaste jivedayo muktipade sadhaya bhak. One who controls and lives in that way, controls his words and always surrendered to Krishna, lives in that way in this world. Jivedayo mukti pade sadhaya bhak. For him, even while living in this world, Krishna has already accepted him. Mukti pade sadhaya bhak. He's already given the stamp to come to the, go back to exit from this world. Exist from this world. So, here, after saying that, Krishna says here, that, so this bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, this bhakti is a prerequisite for this Kshetra-Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. In order to understand the Kshetrajna Yoga properly, you have to see first, Krishna is inside the heart as Kshetrajna, or the Antaryami inside, and seeing him as, another word used in the Bhagavad Gita is Kshetrapurushan, Aksharapurushan. That Aksharapurushan inside. Remember, same thing is spoken in different ways. Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti. Kshetram, Kshetrajnan. Isn't it? So same thing. Kshetram, Aksharam. So that Aksharapurushan, or all that Kshetrajna, or that Antaryami inside, unless you have recognized and realized him, and in continuously after that, seeing Krishna's presence in everything, that is, you'll come to that finally, which is called Parabhakti, which is proper bhakti. Which is proper bhakti. So in other words, sadhana bhakti takes to knowledge of the self, jnanam. Jnanam. And jnanam takes you to Parabhakti. That is how that process works. Sadhana takes to jnanam, and jnanam takes to Parabhakti. This all what we have spoken so far is sadhana. This surrender process, Sharanagati, and talking to Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, everything, all this is sadhana. Sadhana is not only just chanting the rounds. I don't know, that is a misunderstanding that has come to most of the people, isn't it? They think that sadhana means chanting 16 rounds. I've done my sadhana today, they say. No, in bhakti, sadhana never ends. It's a 24 hours thing. Always being surrendered to Krishna without allowing that ego to hurt inside, develop inside, always remaining in that subdued state, always to Krishna. And this, what we spoke before, that whatever happens in the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, Antaryami is doing inside. Inside the knowledge of the self, externally in the world, always in a Sharanagati state, that is sadhana. That is the sadhana. Sadhana, sometimes we completely misunderstood everything. This what, when, how does it happen? Because when you study too much these books related to spiritual life, you will become, and because your own nature is to make it everything in a very systematic way, you will lose the message there. You lose the message. You'll start thinking, lot of books you buy, read everything, and then in many of the books nowadays, you see they have made, put it in columns and everything. Make it in columns and rows and columns. These things for this, this is for that. And you start memorizing all these things. And then you think that you have understood it, that. No, it's not. It is something to be put into use here, right now, in this world. That's the only way you can understand this. It's not for mental or intellectual understanding. It is for practicing here. So, as we mentioned before, jnanam inside of the self, knowledge of the self inside always. What is the knowledge of the self? Knowledge of self means, Antaryami is inside. Antaryami is controlling everything. The body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is controlled from inside by the Antaryami. Outside in the Vyavaharam, Sharanagati. That means, anything happening, distress or happiness, anything whatever comes, always remaining in the surrendered state. Krishna is doing everything. I am not responsible for that. It's Krishna who is managing the show. I am not managing the show. So, Vyavaharam Sharanagati, in the inside, it is knowledge of the self. This is the important point that is spoken about here. So, all these things Krishna is saying, gradually it will bring us to take us to that awareness or realization of the self and show to us our real identity. When all these things are happening within us, gradually it will take us to our own identity, who we are. That is how we come to know who we are. Nobody is going to tell us one day that, look, you are not anymore what you are, somebody else you are. It's not that how it happens. When all this sadhana is executed and this Sharanagati has happened in the world outside, And jnanam is inside means in your understanding, consciousness. If it is there, gradually that will reveal to you your identity, what you are. Your identity, what you are. And that is called Swarupa Darshanam. Swarupa Darshanam means seeing your own actual identity. So, even after the Swarupa Darshanam, even after that has happened to someone, when he is in the Vyavaharam, because Vyavaharam is the most difficult thing, isn't it? Every devotee finds that very difficult. How to combine the both, the state of spiritual life and the Vyavaharam in this world. Vyavaharam is always a problem. So, even after Swarupa Darshanam, that means you have realized your identity, still when you are in your Vyavaharam in this world, when you are in your Vyavaharam state, still there is a possibility that you will have Raga Dvesham. Attachment and aversion will develop and problems will come. All the other problems of this world will also come. So, when even in Vyavaharam state, that means even in the transactions in this world, those disturbances or problems is not disturbing you, even during the Vyavaharam, if it's not disturbing you, and you are feeling that shanti, peace inside, then Krishna says, you are released. That is the proof. Proof is, in Vyavaharam, if you are able to live with that same shanti, what you have inside, when you are not doing any Vyavaharam. You will see one verse later, Krishna is saying, samam pashyanhi sarvatra, sarvatra samadarshidam. In the same chapter, I think, you will see one Krishna says this. Talking about a realized soul. He says there, samam pashyanhi sarvatra, sarvatra, that is in the, which verse number is that? Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram. Nahina styalpman altmanam tatoyadi paramgadim. That is that state Krishna is talking about. See that verse? Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samam avastidam ishwaram. And nahina styalpman altmanam tatoyadi paragadim. In other words, only in that state you are seeing Krishna's presence in everyone equally. For example, when you are looking at two people, you are seeing them at two different levels, isn't it? Someone you have a little higher respect, someone you have a lower respect. Krishna is same in both people, in both persons. Who is present inside as Kshatrajna Antaryami is the same. But you are not able to see them in the same level. You are seeing one body is a boss, somebody is a servant. Somebody is, as you know what I am saying, that you see someone is higher, someone is lower. This higher lower business is very difficult to wipe out from inside. Isn't it? So why is it like that? Krishna is saying here, samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastidam ishwaram. In other words, when you have properly seen that person of Krishna's presence inside, only then you can see both people in the equal level. The two people whom you are looking at, you can only see. Nowadays what happens? We say, if the Prime Minister comes, he thinks Prime Minister is something very important. An ordinary person in the street is not important. Or a rich man is important, a poor man is not important. A beautiful person is important, a celebrity or film star or whatever, everybody runs after him. An ordinary person, nobody looks at him. Why is that? Because this problem is inside. Conditioning, that's what's called conditioning, isn't it? So, and Krishna is saying, samam pashyanhi sarvatra. How will it happen? The samam, equal to see everyone. Samavastidam Ishwaram. Because Ishwara, who is inside everyone, is a samam, is equal. till you see that Ishvara in everyone, this Samampashyanhi Sarvatra won't happen. That's the point Krishna is making there. It's not so easy, all these things. We are thinking that it's all just do some sadhana and go back, come back to God. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot of things before that to happen here. Samampashyanhi Sarvatra Samavastitam Ishvaram Nahinasti Alpana Alpanam Yatato Yadi Parangadim. Only Krishna says, only if you see in everyone Krishna's presence equally, only such a person, he is respecting the soul. Otherwise not. See how bad this conditioning is. Conditioning makes us think that we can say so many things. Everybody is equal in this world and everybody is, and Krishna is present in everyone. Saying is no use. But in experience level, if that has to happen, Krishna's point is that samam pashyanhi sarvatra, Krishna says samam pashyanhi sarvatra, samam pashyanhi sarvatra, that is the minimum qualification for that. And Krishna is going to say that, and that state is called parabhakti. That state is called parabhakti. So if somebody asks what is parabhakti, this is the answer. Bhagavad Gita gives you all the answers also, all the questions and all the answers. But we have to absorb it in ourselves, not theoretically, not on a intellectual level, but rather an experiential level. Consciousness, that's where it is important. So in order to have that parabhakti to get, it is for that purpose, the sadhana from next verse is spoken. To get that parabhakti. You may think that we told earlier that all these six chapters is about knowledge, isn't it? Jnanam. Now you can see how jnanam is connected with bhakti. They are never separate. It's always together. It's only for, on a general classification, it is spoken karmam, bhakti, jnanam. First six chapters karmam, then six bhakti and then the six jnanam. We say like that, isn't it? Karma shalkam, bhakti shalkam, jnana shalkam, they call it. 18 chapters like that. That does not mean that bhakti is not spoken here. If these things has to develop, which Krishna is going to talk about from now on, those qualifications will only happen only in that situation when Krishna mentions here that when this Samadarshitvam, what he mentioned later in the 28th verse, isn't it? In the 28th verse, what did he say? Sarvatra, samam pashyanhi sarvatra. That verse. Samam pashyanhi, samam. Krishna keeps repeating about samam. He likes it samam. Krishna says that samatvam, another place Krishna says, samatvam yogam uchyate. When you have that equality inside you, then you are in the yoga state. Samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahinasti alpana alpanam tadoyadi parangadi. Everywhere Krishna says samam, samam, samam. That's all Krishna has got to say. Samatvam yogam uchyade in the sixth chapter, I think Krishna says. Here he says samam pashyanhi sarvatra. So you can see from this, Bhagavad Gita has only one thing to tell us, the science of the soul and consciousness. Nothing to do with the body. On a bodily level, you can't make two people samam. It's not possible, isn't it? You cannot say, one is an old man, one is a young person. How can it be samam? Or one is a man, one is a woman. How can it be samam? Or one is a Indian, or one is an American. How can it be samam? Everybody, one is a black body, one has got a white body. How can you say it's samam? They are different. Everything is different. On a bodily level, everything is different. On a spiritual level, there is no difference. Our problem is, we have got all the differences we know, but the oneness we don't know. The freedom from that differences we don't know. We only know the differences. That is the problem. That is why Krishna is saying here, that samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahinasti alpana alpanam tato yadi param gadim. So differences have to go and come to that what is. When you know it is the soul in everyone, then it is samam. Same thing Krishna says, samatvam yogam uchyate. Yogam is that samatvam. If you look into next verse before that, again he says, samam sarveshu bhuteshu തിഷ്ടന്തം പരമേശ്വരം വിനശ്യൽസു അവിനശ്യന്തം യ പശ്യതി സ പശ്യതി. വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്. സമം സർവേഷു ഭൂതേഷു, ഓൾവേസ് യു ആർ സീയിങ് ദാറ്റ് സമത്വം ഇൻ എവ്രി വൺ. വൈ ലുക്കിംഗ് അറ്റ് അതേഴ്സ് ഡോൺ ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദം, ഓ ഈസ് എ റിച്ച് പേഴ്സൺ, ഈസ് എ പൂർ പേഴ്സൺ, ഈസ് എ ഹെൽത്തി മാൻ, ഈസ് എൻ അൺഹെൽത്തി പേഴ്സൺ, ഈസ് എ ബ്യൂട്ടിഫുൾ പേഴ്സൺ, ഈസ് എ അഗ്ലി പേഴ്സൺ. നോട്ട് ദാറ്റ് വേ ഓഫ് ലുക്കിംഗ് അറ്റ് പീപ്പിൾ. സമം സർവേഷു ഭൂതേഷു, ഓൾവേസ് ലുക്കിംഗ് അറ്റ് പീപ്പിൾ. ഹൗ? തിഷ്ടന്തം പരമേശ്വരം, കൃഷ്ണ ഹു ഈസ് സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് വിത്ത് ഇൻ ദ ഹാർട്ട്. That's where you are looking. You are not looking at the body. You are looking at Krishna who is present inside the body. If that vision comes, then samatvam will come. Krishna says here, vinashyalsu avinashyandam. What does that mean? When the body gets destroyed, that thing inside doesn't get destroyed. Such a person who is seeing it like that, yapashyati sapashyati. One who is seeing like that, he sees things properly. So now what do we do? Are we seeing things properly? We don't, do we? We are seeing, oh, somebody is a rich man, somebody is a poor man, or somebody has strong, somebody is weak, somebody is this country, that country, so many other things that is difficult to get rid of the, all these things from inside. That's why in this chapter, Krishna is saying all those things, samatvam, samatvam, if that all has to happen, Krishna says, in order to get that bhakti, that is bhakti, and these sadhanas are for that purpose. These sadhanas are for that purpose. So all these sadhanas, what Krishna has spoken about here, is that sadhana for that purpose. Only for that purpose. Which one? Amanitvamadambitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam ആചാര്യോപാസനം ശൗചം സ്ഥൈര്യം ആത്മവിനിഗ്രഹ ഇന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥേഷു വൈരാഗ്യം അനഹങ്കാരമേവ ച ജന്മം മൃത്യുജരാവ്യാധി ദുഃഖദോഷാനുദർശനം അസക്തി അനഭിഷ്വംഗ പുത്രദ്വാരഗൃഹാദിഷു നിത്യം ച സമചിത്തത്വം ഇഷ്ടാനിഷ്ടോപപത്തിഷു മയി ചാനന്യയോഗേന ഭക്തിരവ്യഭിചാരിണി വിവിക്തദേശസേവിത്വം അരതിർജന സംസദി അധ്യാത്മജ്ഞാന നിത്യത്വം തത്വജ്ഞാനാർത്ഥദർശനം ഏതൽ ജ്ഞാനമിതി പ്രോക്തം അജ്ഞാനം തദനന്യഥാ. യു കെൻ സീ ദീസ് ഫൈവ് വേഴ്സസ് ആർ സിംപ്ലി ദാറ്റ് സാധന വിച്ച് ടേക്സ് അസ് ടു ദിസ് പരാഭക്തി സ്റ്റേജ്. That is why these verses are important. That Parabhakti state prior to that, this is important. That you can see there itself, Krishna is saying there, that you will notice there, in one of those verses, Maijan, that is the verse 10 or 11, it says, Maijan ananya yogena bhakti avyabhijarini, Krishna says. Isn't it? So, bhakti develops all these qualities, and you can see that samadarshitvam, equal vision, samam pashyanhi sarvatra, it is all a prerequisite for these qualifications. So they are not simple sadhanas like we talk about the other sadhanas. Like when we talk about these sadhanas like chanting the holy name or doing deity worship or going on a harinam or doing any other thing in bhakti, cooking for the deities, all of them is not the same sadhana what is spoken here. These sadhanas are different. What is important? Those sadhanas are for making us to surrender. That's why those sadhanas are. These sadhanas are in that state when parabhakti develops in a person. Parabhakti develops in a person. That's why these sadhanas are called jnana sadhana. From jnanam and jnana sadhana, parabhakti develops. Parabhakti develops in a person. So we'll continue after 15 minutes. ചേതോ ദർപ്പണമർജനം ഭവമഹാദാവാഗ്നി നിർവാപണം ശ്രേയക്കൈതവചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുദിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുഭനം പരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജസർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാലാം ഏതാദൃശം തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാപി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാ തൃണാരമിശുനീചേന തരോറമി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിന മാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീ കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഹിത്വൈ അയേ നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാം മാംഷമേ ഭവാംബുദൗ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം.
What to send verse?
Mayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gaggadarudhaya gira pulager nijidam tadavavo tavanama grahane bhavishyadi yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam അദർശനാം അർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ ദുലംബന മത് പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാപരാ.
സോ
ഇന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥേഷു വൈരാഗ്യം അനഹങ്കാരമേവ ച ജന്മം മൃത്യുജരാ വ്യാധി ദുഃഖദോഷാനുദർശനം.
So Krishna is saying that that only if these, even after self-realization, only if these qualities are there in that person, your anubhuti means that realization experience is complete. For example, sometimes some people engages in pranayamam, isn't it? People do pranayamam or some meditation. If you do all these things, sometimes you get some enlightenment about the people experience that in the yoga. Those who are practicing ashtanga yoga, they get some enlightenment, or we say a sort of a ray of that experience will come through pranayamam, meditation and all that. It will happen. But with all that, the problem is shanti won't come. You will get an experience of the truth in a very limited level, but shanti, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, that won't happen. Because through these are all techniques, isn't it? Meditation and pranayama, they are all techniques. Through that techniques, all that, you will get some clarity, but again, we will come back to the body. That is the problem, or there is no shanti inside. In order to have shanti, or to make that experience continuous in our life, in vyavaharam we have to do certain things in our vyavaharam, and in vyavahara mandalam, on the field of vyavaharam, we have to know how to wipe out that false ego from inside. And that sadhana, what Krishna is saying here, that's why these sadhanas are important. In the there is one famous phrase that is called a shalkam avinaya shalpadi stotram avinaya apanaya vishnu damaya manaha shamaya vishaya marga trishnam ഭൂതദയാം വിസ്താരയ താരയ സംസാര സാഗരതഹ. There is this famous 6 verses, and this is the first verse of that. It says avinayam apanaya vishnu damaya manaha shamaya vishaya mrga trishnam ഭൂതദയാം വിസ്താരയ താരയ സംസാര സാഗരതഹ. Then it is not possible. It says that this thing inside every one of us, that which is very powerful, what is that? Aham buddhi means ahankaram inside. Please remove it from inside, because mind is not surrendering. It is easy to say about the mind and the false ego,
But false ego won't go easily, and the mind also will continuously cause problems. So mind is not surrendering, therefore asking Krishna to make it surrender. Make it surrender. You control my mind. I can't do anything about it. So we have to help. How? Mind is like a monkey. We have spoken before. So monkey should be tied with a rope. And what is that rope? Rope is bhakti. Rope is bhakti. And hand it over to Krishna. Mind is a monkey. Bhakti is the rope. So tie the mind with this rope of bhakti and hand it over to Krishna. And and we gave this example also. It is in the Shivananda Lahari also. Acharya Swamiji mentions this to Shiva in the same way. He says there that Sada Mohadavyam Charadi Yuvatinam Kujagirav Nadatta Shashaka Swadadi Jadidi Swairam Abhidaham Kapalim Vikshome Hridaya Kapim Atyanta Chavalam Dridam Bhaktya Bhadva Shiva Bhavadadhinam Kuru Vibho. This is Shankaracharya mentioned this addressing Lord Shiva. He says to him, Sada Mohadavyam Charati. Always it's wandering around this monkey called mind. Where? Mohadavyam Charati. In the world, in the forest of desires. In the forest of desires. Charati Yuvadinam Kujagurau. That he is always thinking about enjoying life with this body. The mind is thinking like that. Natati asha shakta swatati jadidi swairam abhidaham. That always in the forest of ignorance and moving about quickly in different directions. If you observe monkey, that's what it does in the forest, isn't it? You wonder when you look at monkey, if you observe monkey carefully, you will see, you don't know what he wants. He will run this direction for some time. You think that he has got some agenda, hasn't he? He has no agenda. He jumps from one tree to another and then he'll jump back to this tree again. And he'll look at you and he'll do some mischief. Then he'll jump into another. If you ask for some logic in the movement of the monkey, you can't find any logic. That's why this comparison of the monkey and the mind is very good, isn't it? Mind is doing exactly the same thing with us every day. It making different plans and it tells you that you do this, it'll be good for you. And you do that. And next thing mind says, no, don't do that, something else. Say, you do that. So day after day we are doing this, but we don't recognize this monkey inside. We constantly think that monkey will find the solution to the problem. So therefore, Acharya Swami says to Shiva that, I'm tying down this monkey and you are going to beg from people. When you go for begging, if you have a monkey with you, it's very nice. People will give you something. Children will see the fun with the monkey. That's how it is in the villages, isn't it? That if you go with the monkey there, many times this happens, that people bring monkeys and use the monkey as a monkey's nature to extract some money from people. So the children see this monkeys playing and they'll go and tell the mother and that somebody has come with the monkey, and they'll say to the monkey and its monkey's master to make some games to play. He will sing some song and with the stick he will play some games with the monkey. Monkey will do all sorts of nonsense. And the boys and girls, small ones, they will watch this and they get fun. And the housewife will come and give some rice or something else for this person. And he makes his food in that. With that monkey, he makes a living. With one monkey, he makes a living with that monkey. Have you seen that? Those who have seen will appreciate that. You won't appreciate that because you may not have seen it. That's the problem. But those who have seen it, you will wonder. He makes a living from one monkey. So imagine his intelligence, how clever he is. With that monkey, he goes from house to house, makes the monkey to play all sorts of games, and he gets some food from the home and he eats that, and in the night he gives something to monkey and he sleeps and the monkey also sleeps. Next day morning, again the same thing goes on. So he doesn't have any concern about life. He survives in this world. So that's the important point. So here, so therefore, he says to Lord Shiva, when you are going begging, you take this monkey with you. I'll give you this monkey, my mind. And he will do all the job for you and they'll give you food. Because Lord Shiva likes to go as a kapaligam. Kapaligam means he takes his skull and he goes begging. He said that she was famous pastime like that. So, because let this monkey jump any amount of time, doesn't matter, because you are holding the monkey's control. So, therefore, there is peace. And therefore, I am sure that this monkey won't go and jump into any dangerous situation. Otherwise, a lot of things you can see, we have gone and jumped into it because this monkey dictated to us from inside. Let's say we have gone and done it. We couldn't control ourselves. Monkey told us something from inside. We gone and did it. And later on, we regret about it. Oh, I've done this, isn't it? So, a devotee hands over this mind to Krishna and becomes free. He becomes free. So only if you do this, handing over the mind to Krishna and making our own maturity inside. That means, by handing over the mind to Krishna and make that practice on a regular basis and purify oneself in that way. This handing over mind to Krishna is a purification. So we said before, Sharanagati means what? Sharanagati means that whatever happens in life, Krishna is doing it. I'm not responsible. It's Krishna's work. I don't have anything to do with it. That means you handed over the mind to Krishna. You're not worrying about it anymore. If you're worrying, it means that you haven't handed over. That's what it means. If you have handed over, it means you shouldn't worry about it, because it's not your problem anymore. It's Krishna's problem, isn't it? So that is where Sharanagati, if you can understand it properly, that act in that way, that surrender actually means you don't worry anymore. It's gone. It's Krishna's problem after that. So only if one does that and purify oneself, your jnana sadhana, this jnana sadhana what is discussed here, will become complete. That is why Krishna mentions here that whether it is jnana sadhana or bhakti sadhana, it will become complete only then. So, although in satsangam you may hear all this, that these material topics in this world, you may hear all these things in the satsangam, that material world has nothing to do with us, we are independent of the material life, self is completely independent of the body. All these things you are hearing here, still, even though we have spoken this many, many times, isn't it? That we have said this before, happiness and distress does not touch the soul, self. Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam punapuna. Asangoyam means no sangam. No connection with the self and the world. No connection with the self and the body. We are hearing this again and again and again from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But when it goes to the world, the whole thing changes again. Is it not? Whole thing changes again. So here, just like we get immediately captivated by something in the world. Like the example they give, like the water in the mirage. You find long distance, there is water. We think like that. It is like that our state here now. We hear all these things in the Shastram, but when you start going to the world, again you get captivated by the beauty of the world or the attractions of this world. And so, just like in the mirage, when you go there and find there is no water, similarly, one who does not know these things, he goes there, he thinks that there is water there and he goes there. And after going there, when he starts trying to drink water there, he realizes that there is no water there. And he realizes it is only a brahmam. That's the word. Brahmam means a false perception inside. So, therefore, I start thinking that there is happiness in sense enjoyment. Is it not? I start thinking there is happiness in the sense enjoyment, and I fall into that. I fall into that. So, that is why it mentions here that in that prayers also, he mentioned like this, avinayam, that he mentions that avinayam apanaya vishnu damayamanam shamayam vishayamargatrishnam bhutadayam vistaraya vismaraya taraya samsara sagaradam. Taraya samsara sagaradam. So taraya samsara sagaradam. He says here that this samsara sagaram, this is material existence, isn't it? This material existence is very difficult to break over. This attraction to the world, in spite of hearing all these things, is the material existence. It's called material existence. After hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and everything, still getting attracted to the world. That's an amazing thing. And that is called material existence. So here, show some mercy. There, Krishna's mercy is the only way to come yourself from that. Tare samsara sagarada. Samsara sagarada means to ocean of material existence and how to cross it over. So please please transport me to the other side of the ocean, says. And this sadhana is the next verse. Which one? Indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankaramevacham janmam mrityujara vyadhi dukkhadoshanudarshanam. Indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankaram evacha janmam mrityu jara vyadhi dukkham doshanu darshanam. Krishna is saying like that. So what is indriyarteshu vairagyam means? Indriyarteshu vairagyam means indriya vishayam. Indriya vishayam means the topics of sense enjoyment, objects of sense enjoyment. Indriya vishayam is that senses can enjoy with certain objects. When they come into contact with certain objects, senses enjoy. So when the senses have attraction for sense objects, it is indriya vishayam attachment, isn't it? Indriya vishayam. Indriya vishayam means objects. If you have attractions for that, Krishna is saying that is no good. There what is required is vairagyam. Krishna says indriyarteshu vairagyam. Indriyarteshu means sense objects. Vairagyam from the sense objects. And then the question is, vairagyam, does it mean detachment? Detachment, does it mean hate? No, it's not hate. That is the important thing. Sometimes people preach like this. I've seen people saying, you should hate women. You should hate the alcoholics. You should hate the people who are doing so many. No, hate is not wrong. Hate is a wrong thing. What Krishna is saying here, you can see the word Krishna has put in. Indriyarteshu vairagyam anahangaram evaja janma mrityu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. That is important. Not hating. Hating is not going to help. In the early days, some people have misunderstood and they were preaching like this all the time to everybody. And they used to tell, oh, if any woman is going through, don't look that side, look this side. To brahmacharis, they were saying like that, oh, it's a danger there. And you're going to fall, and you should hate, look at them like this, say. This, all sorts of things people misunderstood about it. This is not spiritual. This is completely materialistic understanding. And they are thinking this is another project to complete. And they're going on doing this. And similarly, they'll say about karmis. Oh, karmis is working hard like an ass all day. I hate him also. When you start listing everybody, the whole world is to hate only. There's nobody whom you can have any affection towards anyone. To everybody you have to hate in this world. Krishna has not said this anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. You can see in these words, what does it say? Indriyarteshu vairagyam anahangaram evacha janmamrti jaravyadi what? Dukkha doshanu darshanam. That is what is required. To know that there is dukkham in this happiness. That is knowledge, Krishna is saying. That is knowledge. To know that, Prabhupada gave this example. Man and woman, on their own, they are both good. When they come in together, there is problem. That's how Prabhupada puts it. Prabhupada said, man and woman, individually both are good. But when they come into contact, there is trouble, so we have to be careful. That's where we have to be careful. That's what he's saying. Krishna is also saying the same thing. Indriyarteshu vairagyam anahangaram evaja janmamrtyu jaravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. That is more important. That dukkha doshanu darshanam. To see that there is distress in all these things. Because there is no, it's not their fault, it's your fault, our fault in other words. That I have not seen distress in there, I went all the way out to enjoy and I am suffering now. So whom should I blame? I didn't see the dukkham in that. I only saw sukham in there, and therefore I am suffering for that. So Krishna is saying here that dukkha doshanu darshanam means that this dukkha doshanu darshanam, you have to add on to all the other three. Which one? Indriyarteshu vairagyam dukkha doshanu darshanam. Anahangaram evacha dukkha doshanu darshanam. Janma mrtyu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Dukkha doshanu darshanam, you have to add on to all the other three things. You see what I'm saying? Indriyarteshu vairagyam you should have. Why? By how? Through dukkha doshanu darshanam. Anahangaram evacha, how? Through dukkha doshanu darshanam. Janma mrtyu jaravyadi, how? Through dukkha doshanu darshanam. So dukkha doshanu darshanam you have to take into everything, in all the three things. So you can see sense objects, if you go beyond the limit and enjoy senses, and you will be in trouble. You will be in trouble. But without using the senses, can you live in this world? That's also not possible. And the answer to that, Krishna has given to us previously in the second chapter. Remember that? How to live in this world using these senses but not getting affected by that. What did he say there? There he said, Ragadvesha vimukstaikstu vishayan indriyaischaran. That is the answer to this question. When Krishna says here, Indriyarteshu vairagyam dukkha doshanu darshanam, you know that it is not possible to live in this world without using the senses. Isn't it? Without using the senses, it's not possible to live in this world. Naturally, the question will come. When you say to somebody, Indriyarteshu vairagyam dukkha doshanu darshanam, when there is sense objects, and Krishna is saying here, vairagyam there is necessary. And so he says that dukkha doshanu darshanam, but you should see the distress that is coming from the use of the, from the sense enjoyment. But on the other hand, this is the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. When you start reading, you should not simply read one verse and think that that is everything. No, all verses are interconnected. Krishna is saying to us that Indriyarteshu vairagyam dukkha doshanu darshanam. Vairagyam is necessary and see the distress in sense enjoyment. You should know. But the, on the other hand, the answer question is also, can we live in this world without using these senses? No, it is not possible. But while using the senses, how should it be used? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. If you look into the second chapter, connect that verse with this verse. Only then it will make sense. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Then, I think it is 64. Okay. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyer vidheyaatma prasadam adhigacchati. Isn't it? So that verse is connected with this verse. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. You allow your senses to enjoy in this world, let it go to the vishayam, let the senses go to the vishayam. Vishayan indriyaischaran, let it go. But how? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu. If ragadvesham is not developing, you can have some sense engagement, sense enjoyment. Well, how does that mean? Now, again, that also I have to understand. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. That means not being particular about anything. For example, food. If there is ragadvesha, I will only eat this prasadam, I won't eat that prasadam. All these has ragadvesham inside. I like sabji, I don't like the chapati. Or I like sweet rice, I don't like halwa. Both are prasadam, isn't it? But you have decided that is ragadvesham inside. Simple example. Similarly, I like this person, I don't like that person. There all you have ragadvesham all the time inside. So Krishna is saying, ragadvesha vimuktaisu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashyer vidheyaatma prasadam adhigacchati. That person is working directly under the control of Atma, not under the control of the Indriyam, senses. ആത്മവശ്യർ വിധേയ ആത്മ പ്രസാദം അധികച്ചതി. ഇഫ് യു ഓപ്പറേറ്റ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് അണ്ടർ ദി ഇൻഫ്ലുവൻസ് ഓഫ് ആത്മ, ആത്മവശ്യർ മീൻസ് അണ്ടർ ദി കൺട്രോൾ ഓഫ് ആത്മ, ആത്മവശ്യർ വിധേയ ആത്മ പ്രസാദം അധികച്ചതി, ഹി വിൽ ഹാവ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം, ശാന്തി ഇൻസൈഡ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദി പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾ. സോ ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് ഇസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ഗിവൻ ദി ആൻസർ that the first thing is that the important thing to remember here is that while we are engaged in the as you know, keep on engaging the sense gratification or through the senses, if you keep on experiencing, enjoying the senses, the mind will become polluted, mind will become completely polluted, impure. On the other hand, if there is no ragadvesham and according to one's own dharmam one is doing, engaged in activities, and then this will not happen. For example, why do we take food? To sustain the body, isn't it? To sustain the body we take the food. And I'm particular about this food only I can eat, I don't want to eat the other food, and that means it's for the taste of the tongue, isn't it? Taste of the tongue. But if the food is intake is only for the maintenance of the body, then it is called dharma. In everything it has to be the principle, in everything, that whatever you do, you are not thinking according to your liking, it's done as a dharma for the body, is it not? Some people are very particular, isn't it? And they are proud of saying that I'm very particular about my diet, very particular about this, particular about that. Similarly, clothing, shelter, everything in life, you're not particular. That is what, when you are free from ragadvesham. Ragadvesham comes because you are particular. Inside you, you are very particular. Everything should be like this. And they will impose this on others also, saying that all my family members should be like this. But they won't be like that. They will be their way. They will do things. So best thing is not to go into that direction. Krishna says, in your own life, act in this way. Ragadvesha muktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. So if you do like that, if you eat food for the sake of taste of the tongue, then it is adharmam. For the taste of the tongue, if you feed food, it is adharmam. If you take food for maintaining the body, it is dharmam in the same way. That is the only difference, just to make it a little easier. So, without ragadvesham, if one takes food or maintaining the body or to get rid of the prarabdham, to complete the prarabdham, and if you keep the sense objects in its own place properly, Krishna is saying here that if you continue doing that, the mind will become purer and purer in due course. What happens is the mind develops a certain degree of peace inside. Prasannata, they call it. That purity comes from this, that you have become very relaxed about things. You are not particular about anything. Whatever that comes, life, you accept it, and you are not particular. You are taking those things, what's necessary for sustaining the body. That is the approach. If you do that, Krishna says, but nowadays it's not considered like that. Everybody thinking that you need to have so many things, and they are very particular about it. They think that it's a sign of their wealth or their sign of opulence or whatever. That's not a very good spiritual quality. Spiritual quality is like this. But whatever Krishna gives, that's fine. Today he has given me khichdi, I'll take khichdi. Tomorrow he gives gulab jamun, I'll take gulab jamun. Doesn't matter. It's not so important, something to keep the body going. In that attitude, inside, never particular about anything, that is spiritual. So then it is dharmam. When you become very particular about things, it's adharmam. It's adharmam. So if you do like that, what will happen is, prarabdham will run out in that way. When prarabdham runs out, you will be able to keep the sense objects in its place. That means you are not rushing after them. For the sense objects. When that is happened, Krishna is saying, continuously inside you will feel a kind of happiness, a certain settled nature, prasannata will happen inside, and that will bring in course of time more and more experience of that samadhi state. Samadhi state will come. So, indriyarteshu vairagyam means Krishna is saying here that prior to that, purva vicharam, prior to that, you should see the distress in the sense objects. That one has to analyze within oneself about all the distress in the sense objects. As you know, that the often people have this problem. They go through the sense objects, enjoy the senses, and then they see the distress. That's no good. First Krishna is saying, see the distress and then enjoy it. And then what will happen? If the distress, if the sense enjoyment didn't give you any happiness, you won't complain about it. You won't complain about it. So, important thing Krishna says, first this analysis inside about sense objects and how that will destroy me. How it will destroy me, and that you should see prior to the engaging in the sensual activities. You know that the sense enjoyment is a big subject, isn't it? We have a tendency to give all the sense enjoyment a spiritual color and make it bona fide. That's not true. That's not right. Because if you want to understand Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, then we have to follow what Krishna is saying. Just like for the eye, what is sense enjoyment? To see something nice, isn't it? Or various things to see in this world. So what we do? We fix a kirtan program in Lake District and 100 people go there. Why we are having a kirtan there? But basically the idea is to see the Lake District. Or we have some other program like that. There are so many programs simultaneously running all over the world. In the for the purpose of sense gratification, but only thing is they give you a spiritual coating to it. Spiritual coating to it. So, so for eye wants to see, the tongue wants to taste. Tongue wants to taste. And the skin want to touch. The ears want to hear. And the ear and the nose wants to smell. So, the problem with all these five things is that you will see that because I want to see nice things all the time, it is the same way the fly comes and jumps into the fire. In the rainy season, you will notice in the hot weather, suppose when suddenly when it rains, the flies get attracted to the fire. Firefly, they call it, isn't it? They come flying into the fire, seeing that burning fire. And what happens? Their wings get burned and they fall into the fire. It's a typical example of that. The wings, they are made of some funny material that immediately it burns. Straight away, as soon as the heat temperature goes up, it burns. And the fly falls into the fire, dead and gone. So, and similarly, our ears, how it traps us. We want to hear. Like the example is given with the deer, how the hunter catches the deer. What does the hunter do? Hunter goes to the forest and he plays music. The music is very attractive to the deer. As soon as it hears some nice music, you look at the deer, it will stand there with his big ears like this. It will be standing there. And that's when he put the net on the deer. He won't notice it because he's so absorbed in the music that he gets attracted and he falls victimized by that. Similarly, the bee, what does the bee do? Bee goes to the flowers, nice smell in the flowers, and because of its desire, it goes and sits in the flower, enjoying that smell inside. In the night, when the sun sets, the flower closes, like the lotus flower and all, it closes. It is stuck inside. It cannot come out anymore. It dies. It dies inside. How does the elephant get caught? Elephant, if you have known how the elephants are caught in the forest, what they do, they leave a male elephant in a big pit. And the male elephant is there. And the, female elephant is there. Female elephant in a big pit. And the male elephant is chased by the person who is organizing this, catching these elephants. So he is chased by the other elephants. A group of elephants comes and they chase them. And the elephant whom they want to catch, he runs. And he runs somewhere, ever he comes closer to this pit where this male elephant, female elephant is there. As soon as the female elephant he saw, in his inside he knows that he wants to touch that female elephant. He jumps into that to touch, and then they catch. Then they catch the female, male elephant. So, similarly, so the five senses and the five examples in the Bhagavatam, how they get you. How they get you. I want to taste nice food. How does it catch me? The example is given with the fish. The fish knows very well that the person who is catching the fish, fisherman, he is standing there with his, the fishing rod and tackle. And at the end, he has put some bite for the fish to eat, isn't it? Fish knows very well that if I eat that, it will go into my throat, the hook. It catches and then he pulls it. And he's got, life is gone, finished for that. Knowing all that, the fish goes still there. I'm at least having something nice to eat. The fish is thinking like that. In that process, it loses its life. So five senses in five different ways cheats us. And we get trapped in any one of them. Isn't it? So, so all these, when each and every sense, if it controls us like this, and at the end, we become victimized by that. These five different species, they all have problem with one sense only. Fish has problem with its tongue. Elephant has problem with its sense of touch. The bee has problem with its sense of smell. The deer has problem with its sense of hearing. And the fly has its problem with the eye, with its eye. They only have problem with one of them. But we, all five, same times attacking us. In the Bhagavatam, Prahlada says this to Narasimhamurti. He says, this is my position. This is my position. Where is the question of self-realization? When all these five friends are inside us, demanding this, eyes are telling me I want to see nice things. The ears are telling me I want to hear good music or something nice. And tongue is telling me I want to touch something nice, taste something nice. All five of them are demanding one thing or the other. And what to talk about? Shabdadibi. So, how to save the person who has become victimized by all these things? Just by discrimination alone, if you rush into it, and in a rush if you want to solve this problem, it cannot be solved. So, Krishna has given a certain discrimination in these things, isn't it? That is this, that we should study Shastram. We should study Shastram. And we should take shelter of Satsangam. We should take shelter of Satsangam. We should execute Bhakti. We should execute Bhakti. There is no point in fighting with the sense objects. It will not work. Fighting with the sense objects will not work. Little by little, Krishna says, what does he say in the 6th chapter? Shanai shanai uparamet, he says. Have you seen that? Krishna uses a word there. Shanai shanai uparamet. Little by little, withdraw yourself from the sense objects. That's the only way you can. In other words, taking complete shelter of Krishna and bhakti process. There where bhakti will help. Jnanam won't help here. Bhakti will help. By through the bhakti process, we have to develop this vairagyam from the senses. Senses must develop the vairagyam from the sense objects. Shanai shanai ubramed, Krishna says. And that is why indriyarteshu vairagyam means that. So what we have spoken so far is the indriyarteshu vairagyam means this. Through bhakti process, bring the mind under control and develop vairagyam towards sense objects. After that, the next thing what Krishna has spoken is anahangaram evacha. You'll see that. Next one is anahangaram evacha. Krishna says anahangaram evacha. So, ahangaram evacha. Now, suppose what will happen is, suppose you have become very renounced by controlling the senses. That will develop into an ego. See that? The problem? You become very detached from everything. But then you have developed ego inside. Oh, I am very detached, I am very renounced. Krishna says, that's not good. When indriyarteshu vairagyam, same time anahangaram evacha should be there. You should not turn into a situation where your ego gets bolstered or ego becomes powerful. Main principle is that forcefully, if you control anything within your own body, if you control any of the senses forcefully within your own body, in another place, it will come out as false ego. This is the relationship between vairagyam and ahangaram. If you develop vairagyam forcefully, instead of the way Krishna has spoken, shanai shanai ruparamed, if you do it forcefully, what will happen is, this vairagyam will develop inside the body in another way, another place, in the form of ahangaram, it will come out. Ahangaram, it will come out. Because without ahangaram, without false ego, without being feeling proud of anything, if you don't get that meditation of Krishna, dhyana sukham, in other words, you will not be able to receive that happiness properly in spiritual life. You will not be able to receive that happiness in spiritual life. Because dhyana sukham, when, say, for example, people who are engaged in meditation, they get certain happiness from that. That's why they are doing meditation, isn't it? But that dhyana sukham, one should not feel, it should not become a matter of pride inside. So, for example, if suppose I felt, sometimes devotees say, I'm feeling very blissful, they say. Of course, it doesn't happen every day, once in a way. But when it happens, we all get in sometime or the other. Sometimes you feel very good, isn't it? In spiritual life also, you are doing things nicely and you feel, say you went on a Harinam, you had a good kirtan and then you had danced well and you had a good feast after that. You feel good that everything went on very well, nicely. Krishna says that's not good. That you should not feel that. If it is happening, that's coming from ahangaram inside, ego inside. What to talk about feeling, we keep on advertising to the whole world. That's the worst part of it. To something has happened and then we have to let to know the whole world. And people are reading all these things and they are thinking, this must be real, Vaikuntham there. And when you go there, there is not any symptom of Vaikuntham there. It's full of the exactly the opposite. That shows the unfortunate side of it. This is why when we don't follow Bhagavad Gita properly without understanding it, we are thinking everything is advertisement and propaganda and newsletters and websites and everything. Everything is fantastic then. Everything has worked out very well for us. Krishna says no. He says as soon as you start advertising and you start making a mockery of the things to the world, it will develop as an ego inside. I have done better. We have done so well. This. You have to continuously report to the world all what you are doing in spiritual life. Is that necessary? That you have to report to the world all the time what we are doing in our spiritual life, because the ego is working behind. Krishna is saying here that even the bliss what you experience in spiritual life, if it turns to be ahangaram inside, it will turn out to be ahangaram. There is no question about that. And this is how it has happened all the time. It turns into ahangaram. Okay, in devotee's case, it is sad. In other people who don't know Bhagavad Gita anything, ahangaram will naturally come. We have done so many big things in life and they get take pride out of it and they tell others and all sorts of things. But when it comes to spiritual life also, and if we keep doing the same thing, then what have we understood then from Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is saying here, little by little, that anahangaram evacha, under no circumstances, not allowing the ahangaram to build up inside. Says, so, suppose I have chanted, instead of 16 rounds, I have chanted 64 rounds today. Then I tell everyone, look, do you know how many rounds I have chanted? 64. What does that mean? That ego inside. Ego inside is acting. So, this is Krishna is saying no. That means you have actually allowed the ahangaram to build up inside. So, so steadiness in spiritual life is only to avoid this ahangaram. This ahangaram inside. There is nothing worse than this ahankaram inside, which comes in this abhimanam or pride, what is inside. So, in all the great personalities, even the great personalities you are saying, this is the only thing you see in them a problem. This thing called ahankaram. It's the most difficult thing to get rid of. They will have so many good qualities. They are very strong in their practices, very fixed in their sadhana, and no engagement in senses, no attraction for sense enjoyment. And they are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. And they have a model for others. But in spite of all that, you will often see this one ahankaram in them as a big problem. It will be there. It's very difficult to come out of that. Anger, lust, greed, they are not the big problems. This ahankaram is the big problems. So, because if ahankaram is not there, then lust, anger, greed cannot stay. That is the problem. This is the what you call the root of all the other problems. Like we have kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, the six different things, plus ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. If you take all these defects in us, you will see they are all tied down to this one thing called ahankaram. False ego. If ahankaram is gone, they cannot stay in us. That is how powerful this one is, this ahankaram is. That's why it's the most difficult thing to wipe out from inside, and it is the one which keeps everything together. Which keeps everything together. That is why Krishna says here, remember, if you remember this last verse when we looked at Bhagavad Gita, Abhijayat Sudhiracharyo Bhajadeemam Ananya Bhak Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vyavasidohisa Kshipram Bhavati Dharmalma Shashvat Chandim Nigachadim Kauntaya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashari. Two verses we discussed before. Krishna saying, Abhijayat Sudhiracharyam Bhajadeemam Ananya Bhak. A person who has got all bad habits. Say, he's got all bad habits. Durachari. Durachari means he has got bad habits. He is attracted to so many sense enjoyment and all that. And Sudurachari means much deeper level. He is attracted by sense gratification. But if he surrenders to me, Krishna says, without this ego inside, I will consider he is a sadhu, even though he has all the other problems. Why? Krishna says, because Krishna knows, if he has no ahankaram inside, the false ego is not there, those things will disappear very soon. That is why Krishna says in that verse like that. People always wonder that, isn't it? People say that I have become a devotee, why I have not got all, you have not become a devotee, you only become a devotee when you have surrendered to Krishna. Otherwise you are not a devotee. So the point is here, Abhijayat Sudhiracharyo Bhajadeemam Ananya Bhag, that Ananya Bhag Bhajana has started in him, which means that he has completely taken Krishna shelter, Sharanagadi, what we have discussed so far. If that has happened to him, even though he has all other problems in life, that will all disappear, Krishna says. And what will happen? Kshipram Bhavadi Dharmalma. Very quickly he will become a Dharmalma. Shashva Shandim Nigachadi, that he will become eternally situated in the peace. Kaundeya Pradijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyadi. Krishna saying, my dear Arjuna, such a devotee will never fall because he has surrendered. That is how much Krishna values the surrender. Surrender means this ahankaram has gone. So that is why this word anahankaram evacha is the very, very foundation of all our other problems, other bad qualities or other bad problems what we have to deal with. The foundation of all that is this ahankaram. Krishna is saying here that if that has gone, in due course of time, everything, all other problems will go and you'll come in my way. Anahankaram evacha. So Krishna, now, so first thing, Indriyartheshu Vairagyam, that we have spoken. Then Anahankaram Evaja. Anahankaram means freedom from false ego. Freedom from Ahankaram, that is Anahankaram. then what Krishna is saying in the next two lines is meant for creating vairagyam inside. How to create vairagyam inside? What is that? Janmam mrityu jara vyadhi dukham doshanudarshanam. That two lines are for creating vairagyam. Are creating vairagyam. So that is why Krishna says here, why we don't have vairagyam after hearing all these things? Because you will only get vairagyam when you see that there is distress in the world. We have not seen distress yet. That is the problem. So one who look at this world carefully and see that there is distress in this world, only for such a person vairagyam will come in a natural way. Vairagyam happens that way after realizing that there is distress in this world. So that is the most important thing. So you know, when we say that certain things, like we say we propagate, preach and all that, that's all nice, you can do all that. But that person, in order to take to spiritual life and properly make that connection, he needs vairagyam first. That vairagyam is not there. So therefore what happens? He becomes a devotee, and after some time he says, maybe I'll try out something else. It's not working. Why does it work? Because vairagyam is not there. That importance of vairagyam, for bhakti and jnanam to develop in a person, vairagyam is an important necessity. So this vairagyam, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam, Krishna says that these four things, if properly scrutinized, vairagyam will come to a person. So we'll scrutinize them next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.